The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
Stand up, all fat men, stand up straight. Stand up because no chair can hold your weight.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Well, you know, I took this test, and it sort of turns out that I'm technically mentally retarded.
I can't hear you. You'll have to speak into the microphone.
Paul Perillo.
No, don't do that. Don't try to turn my words on me. You know, you can just go to hell. We're like, yeah, yeah, like that. Yeah.
You can't hit me. I'm a girl.
And Andy. And Andy?
I don't care. I really don't give it. I'm all worked up right now, so we have to do it. Just do it, okay?
Andy Hart.
Let's corner the nerds and call them gay and make them show us their penises.
Won't that be gay of them?
Eric Scalavino.
That's the most idiotic thing I've ever heard. You're a moron. A pretentious moron. And you know what? Take that sweater off. Makes you look queer.
For now, anyway.
You think I care about you? No. You're just smart enough, and you're just clever enough to occasionally amuse me.
PFW in Progress.
Tell me what it was like being one of them.
It was like basking in the warm glow of a higher intelligence as it envelops you and allows you to become part of its everlasting glory.
Part of the Patriots Football Network.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Paul, you're looking real nice today. Get your nice white shirt on.
White looks nice.
All right, so
what's the difference between this and any other shirt?
It's just you rarely wear a white shirt.
Well, usually when I wear dress shirts, it's because of TV, and you're really not supposed to wear white on TV.
Is that still true?
But I had a jacket on. Well, especially if you're outside, it's the lighting.
Yeah, with the new cameras though.
No, the new cameras are not so much for white.
Yeah.
If you're in a lot of light, sunlight.
Yeah.
You don't want to wear white.
All right, well, welcome to the show. It's Wednesday here at Gillette Stadium.
Freddie,
of course, it's media day.
What was going on in the locker room today?
Well, what's going on in the locker room?
A lot.
Really?
A lot of
your guys here. Chris Berman's here.
Yes.
Bill bowed to him to start the press conference.
Gargling lava.
You know, it was funny because when the press conference started, Bill came out, and I looked up, and Bill was doing the bow thing that Andy just talked about, and it was kind of loud. Usually when he comes in, you know, the scuttlebutt, all the conversation stops, and he starts the press conference. Well, there was kind of some talking still, you know, a murmur, I would call it.
Right.
Andy. And when I saw him doing the, you know, he was lowering his hands, I thought he was, like, jokingly telling everybody to quiet down. And then I realized, you know, Berman's in the back, and he said, you know, I don't let you take over up here, Chris. You know, so it was, you know.
So pencil in the dropkick for the finale.
Yeah, it was lame.
Why is he here?
He's interviewing Tom Brady, the quarterback.
Oh, okay. But it's not an ESPN game or anything like that, is it?
No.
No.
I don't know why specifically, but he's interviewing him.
Okay. Yeah, ABC has some playoff games. Would they have a divisional game? I'm just trying to think when they would be airing this.
Well, I think that the wild card games are on ESPN, right? And NBC.
But NBC, yeah.
Are they all on NBC? I thought they were split. You might be right.
Maybe they
might
are,
all be on NBC. Yeah, ABC doesn't have any of the games.
I don't believe so.
Yeah. All right. Well,
even though I know ABC and
ESPN. Before we get into this, I need to issue an apology. Not to all listeners. All listeners may want an apology for yesterday's show, but I want to issue an apology to the woman.
Oh, did you get emails?
No, I didn't actually.
Oh, okay.
But I don't know where that came from. I say a lot of inappropriate things. That was one of the more inappropriate. And I apologize. Do you remember who it was? Do you remember the woman's name?
I think it began with a T.
Okay, Mrs. T. I'm sorry, Mrs. C. Now you're going to lead me into making fun of her. Mrs. C or T, I apologize for calling you a naughty word yesterday. I was emotional, and it just slipped out, and I don't even know where it came
about
from.
About what? I don't know.
Okay, you're still not going to be able to save your job. You're out.
I don't know. I have no idea why you were so
emotional.
It came
from such a dark place.
Yeah. I don't really either. I think it was the sugar, the cookies. I rarely mix the cranberry and the chocolate chip. I had one of each.
It's Christmas.
It was an unfortunate mix of Diet Pepsi and prescription cookies.
All right. Well, there's no sugar in Diet Pepsi, though.
But there isn't cookies, and there's a lot of chemicals. That's what all these celebrities, when they, it was an unfortunate mix of alcohol and prescription medication that led me to do X, Y, or Z. Well, that's what I'm going with.
All right. All right, webradio@patriots.com is the email address, 508-298-0398. So
Pro Bowl.
So Chris Berman was in the press conference. You said it was a crazy locker room, too.
Well, the Pro Bowl announcement obviously came yesterday. Patriots have 8 Pro Bowlers. I will recap those quickly before I talk about the locker room. Tom Brady, Wes Welker, Rob Gronkowski, both guards, Brian Waters and Logan Mankins, Vince Wilfork, Matthew Slater, and Andre Carter. Obviously, Carter won't play because he's hurt. But those are the 8 Patriots, and a lot of those guys were talking today in big groups. Matthew Slater, Brian Waters had a big group around him. Rob Gronkowski had a big group around him. Stephen Ridley, I spoke with, had a big group around him. Just kind of the story late in the season. He's running, blah, blah, blah. But a lot of players, a lot of media, very active locker room, especially even for a Wednesday. I mean, there were a lot of people.
Even for a Wednesday in the Buffalo Bills, in, you know, not really a meaningless game, but not a huge game.
Right. And yeah. Rewinding a few minutes, I think the lack of focus on the Bills may have led Bill Belichick to be a little more cranky and agitated in his press conference. Got a little bit confrontational with a series of questions regarding the passing records, Marino's record, and the fact that 4 guys or whatever could go over 5,000. And actually started with Shalice Manza-Young of the Boston Globe asking the questions, and he was kind of being agitated with her. And then out of nowhere, Tom Curran from 5 seats away kind of swooped into her support and started asking questions. And it was awkwardly confrontational, I thought.
What was your question?
Is it the changes in the rules? And, you know, the record stood for 30 years. And Bill said, what rules? Those rules were changed in the 70s when we know there was a change in the emphasis. And even, I give Shalice credit. She didn't back down. She said, well, the emphasis changed in more recent years. And he just would have none of it. You know, he didn't. I'm not an expert, you know, because Tom Curran said, well, we're just asking you. You're an expert on the list. I'm not an expert. We'll leave that for you guys to write, you experts. And just very, I didn't care for the tone of his treatment of the media.
Yeah, I mean,
but I think it was.
To me, it's a harmless
it
question,
is,
right?
But I think it's him saying, Bills, this game, this focus. It's like last week when I thought he was cranky. I thought it was
bit. You know what he probably didn't want to have anything lead into is Brady perhaps breaking the record. He didn't want to have any talk of that.
But they were general questions, just about the league.
But it's still in that topic. It's in that
Why is
genre.
It that we always have to find a way to just
Because that's
say
what he's
that,
doing.
But all of the No, but that everybody is wrong and he's right.
No, it's not a matter of right or wrong.
All he had to do was answer the question. He could have avoided what ended up being, as Andy pointed out, a strangely confrontational
I'm trying to give you insight into his thinking. It's like, okay, this will lead to who's breaking it, and then
if it leads to who's breaking it, then say, listen, we're just trying to win the game.
I know, but he doesn't even want to get into that.
Okay, well,
you know,
I don't.
He doesn't
want
to have to not answer questions about his own quarterback.
I've long since stopped caring that he doesn't tell us anything because, I mean, if I hadn't, I'd have been driven myself crazy by now. But I thought today was one of the it was a textbook example of him going out of his way to not only not helping you, but being confrontational. And, you know, and Tom Curran, as Andy pointed out, didn't help matters, even though he probably thinks he was trying to help. Shalice, a couple of times, followed up by saying, well, you know, the rules are changing now. And I thought she even said, you know, you can't hit the quarterback. You can't hit the receiver in a certain spot. She wasn't talking about the 5-yard chuck rule.
Right.
Right.
When she said the rules changed. She was talking
it's
about
all defenseless
everything.
Part. Yeah, yeah.
And, okay. So he wasn't buying. He didn't want to talk about it. And then Tom Curran comes in with a really, really edgy tone to his voice. I think she's talking about, you know, the Marino record stood for 27 years. No one's done it until now. All of a sudden now, after they do all these things, it's changed now. Why? And he has his hands up like this. I'm not exaggerating. His hands are up like this as he's talking.
It was good.
You know, palms raised to the air, and he's gesturing toward Belichick.
Right.
And Belichick, you know, said, well, look, I'm not really concerned about any of that. You know, well, you're the expert. Curran said.
Right.
And he goes, I leave that for, you know.
He said, I'm not an expert.
I'm not
first.
An expert.
And then he said, I leave that for
I leave
you
that
guys.
For you guys.
To write. You
I'm no expert. I leave that for you guys. You guys are the experts. So not only he wouldn't answer the question, he turned it into, to me, a very confrontational exchange between Shalice and
well,
then
maybe,
later.
Maybe he's tired
Curran.
Of hearing people say, well, he never gives us any information. So now he's decided, I'm not giving
that's
people
what I'm talking
information
about.
Anymore.
That's what I'm talking about.
There you go.
That's ridiculous right
Well,
there.
Maybe he's tired of hearing that.
I actually just think
like
he
I
gets
said,
bad PR advice.
I don't
care. Know who it is, but I think he could do the same thing and reach the same objectives he wants to reach and not be considered an a-hole. But everybody who left that room today was outright mocking him. Except for one. Ian Rappaport didn't think it was a big deal.
He thought it was great.
But everybody, nobody reporters, and I don't want to offend them by saying that, but literally everybody left that angry at Bill Belichick. That's not good PR. You're not doing your job if you're advising him to do that. He can reach that objective of keeping the focus on his team and the Bills without making everyone hate him. There's got to be a middle ground.
I mean, it would be interesting to know what he has to have an opinion on it, obviously.
Oh, he has an opinion on everything.
You know, but the league has changed into more of a passing league, and I think at this point it just so happens you've got three guys, Breeze, Brady, and Rodgers, who are
going
to be Hall of Famers.
There's five, I think it's five guys that are going to throw for over 5,000 yards, or four or five guys anyway. Certainly four with Manning and Rodgers joining Brady and Breeze.
Oh, Eli, sure, I forgot about him.
You know, it's interesting. Andy threw something out there on Tuesday's show when we were talking about the as well as controversy.
Why do you have to bring that up?
I didn't really think of, and you know, Dan Fouts did it three times, 3 years in a row. He set the record. He broke Joe Namath's record, and then he broke it 2 years in a row. So I think it was 79, 80, and 81, something like that. So it came directly on the heels of the five-yard chuck rule, which is put in, I believe, in 78.
Mm-hmm.
So right after they made that rule, passing improved. It's not so much, I don't think, it's a passing game now. It's a passing league, which it is. I'm not denying that it is. But it's not so much that as it's easier to complete the passes and get open.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I'm saying? And right after they made that major change to the rules, it was broken four times within the next six years.
Right.
You know, Fouts did it 3 years in a row, and then Marino did it.
Right.
Now, it's not so much the emphasis that they did in 03 after the 03 playoffs to me on the five-yard chuck as it is you can't really hit the quarterback anymore for fear of retribution, and you certainly can't hit receivers and make life difficult. So these guys are now emboldened to go over the middle and catch passes, and the defensive backs are reluctant to make them pay. Because it's a 15-yard penalty, that's really going to hurt your team. I think, in addition to that, there have been immense improvements in systems that we've seen guys like Tom, you know, the West Coast offense, for example, is geared toward high completion percentages.
Right.
And where it used to be, the passing game was like, you know, you might have thrown the ball. Marino threw the ball a lot, but I think he threw it in a much different way than they throw it today.
Right.
Do you know what I'm saying? I think it's much easier to complete passes. There was the stat that I talked to you about yesterday before the show. I was astounded by this. They put this up, Andy, on Monday Night Football. Marino, I believe, I might be missing the exact yardage. Marino was 82 yards higher than the league average for passing per game in 1984. So if he averaged 350 yards, the average was, you know, whatever,
270.
Breeze is higher than that. It's 98 or something like 96 yards higher than the average. So, yeah, it might be that average is higher today than it was in 84. But Breeze is further exceeding the average today than Marino did. So it's not necessarily just about, oh, it's a passing game.
Right.
Now. Yeah, it is a passing game. Now, that's all relevant. But Breeze is also playing at an exceptionally high level.
Well, that's what I think Fred
said
earlier.
He's completing over 71% of his
passes.
These
are all Hall of Famers.
Right.
You're seeing a string of Hall of Famers in Manning, Peyton Manning.
Right.
Roethlisberger, Brady, Rodgers, Breeze. They could all end up being Hall of Fame quarterbacks that all overlapped because that average is being dragged down a little bit by Tim Tebow and those types of people.
Well, that's a good point. But, I mean, really, one guy is affecting it that
well,
bad?
Not just
he did
one
set
guy.
The position back 50 years.
Yeah.
I almost got my nice white shirt all
although,
Pepsi all
the
over.
Other way, I mean, Newton's going to throw for 4,000, right, as a rookie?
Right.
He's probably already there,
and,
no?
And I think that the days of Bill Walsh saying, you know, a quarterback needs 3 years to really get settled and become a starter, that's gone.
And that might be part of they can't hit you, and they can't hit your receivers, so it makes it easier to play the position. Yeah. So that might be part of quicker ascension to this guy can play right away.
Yeah, but I also think that you have to be smarter.
Although Blaine Gabbert doesn't buy they can't hit you.
But I also think that...
in his defense, he's never been hit. He just falls down.
Right.
But I also think defenses are more sophisticated now than ever, and I think quarterbacks have to think quicker than ever.
But I think quarterbacks, as much as we poo-poo the college game, I think a lot of these quarterbacks come in better than they did 25 years ago.
I agree with
that. In terms of what they've gone through. Yeah. Now, I think Newton kind of flies in the face of that because he had like 12 plays he ran at Auburn and they were just dominant. He didn't run a pro-style offense with all these adjustments and plays. But I think there's a lot to – I think even – now, this is just totally off the top of my – I think there's, Paul, more yards after catch now. And I think people realized you don't have to throw the ball down the field to get the ball down the field. I mean, we've seen Wes Welker have big yards per catch, have big 40, well, that, 50, 70, 90
that's what
yards.
I'm saying. Guy's not tackling.
Because of the fear of
yes. Marino's
well, you also
day,
spread them out more, though, because when you have five receivers all over the field really stretching the defense, that creates more seams and creases where guys can split somebody. Not that, you know, Jerry Rice obviously did it as well as anyone ever and John Taylor, but I think that might be part of it, too.
Manning's not going to make it, by the way. I'm just looking at it. He had the bad game on Saturday. He had a terrible game on Saturday. He was like 9 for 30 or something like that.
He needs
413 yards. So he probably
could get there.
He probably isn't going to make it.
Who's he playing?
Dallas. Well, he threw for about that the last time they played Dallas. It's going to be Rodgers. Rodgers has a chance. He might not make it too. He's 46, 43, so he might not make it either. He'd have to throw for 350.
Yep.
Well, that's easy for him.
Yeah, but if he doesn't play,
but he probably isn't going to play.
You know,
so they're and Newton is going to go over 4,000 more than likely. He's 38 in change, so he'll probably go over 4,000. That's
remarkable.
That's never is that ever? This is a rookie record, right?
I believe
rookie
so.
Passing record. Yeah. That's never happened. So,
well, getting back to the Patriots Pro Bowlers, are there any surprises and any oversights in your opinion?
For the Patriots, you mean?
Yeah.
I am a little surprised Matt Light didn't make it and Logan Mankins did. That's a swap I would make. I think Matt Light's having, and I put this on the blog, I think he's having the best year of his career and against elite competition every week. Now, I'm not going to pretend I watch Joe Thomas and Jake Long are the starters and DeBrickashaw Ferguson is the backup. I don't think DeBrickashaw Ferguson is great. I haven't seen his year this year.
He's not better than
I think. Light
that
has
offensive
had a great
line
year.
Thing is all reputation.
Oh yeah,
it's ridiculous,
and it's why I said to Paul, it's interesting. Two teams that don't run the football. You think of guards as more of a run based position. The Patriots don't run it. The Saints don't run it, and they have the four starters in the Pro Bowl. The Saints have their two, and Waters and Mankins made it for the Patriots. It's hard to criticize offensive line selections because
I think that's where the fans come in. I think. I know that the fans are only one third, but, you know.
Well, it's no different with the players. Yeah. You talk to the players, they do the same thing. Who's good, who's not good. Yeah. And
wasn't Light first or second
I
in
believe,
the fans?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah, so he didn't make it not because of that. I would have thought by reputation, Light would have made it if you're going with the reputation.
Yeah, he made it last year. He's a three-time Pro Bowler, an all-pro.
And I agree with Andy.
Best passing offense.
I think
that's
the most glaring omission for the Patriots. I know a lot of people have written about Aaron Hernandez.
A lot of fans really worked up over that one.
I know the numbers say that he's a Pro Bowler, but I don't really think that.
I don't either. And
he's had a Pro Bowl season.
Somebody tweeted me, I think it's hard, he's right, to be the second best tight end on your team and be considered the second best tight end in the conference, even though he's not really a tight end.
I read something from a guy, I think from Fox, I want to say Fox Sports, you know, one of those websites, said it was a no-brainer. It's Gronkowski and Hernandez. No other tight ends have been close.
And you haven't watched the Patriots play because Aaron Hernandez makes fun of himself for dropping touchdown passes.
And I was just looking at the numbers, and yes, there's no other tight end in the AFC that's close to his 72 receptions, but there's plenty of others close to him in yards, better averages, and the same amount of touchdowns.
I believe Gates has more yards and he has a better average, I believe, and same touchdowns.
Yeah.
And he missed one more. They both have missed games. Hernandez missed two. Gates missed three plus because Gates has been hurt all year.
Listen.
But I have no problem with a guy getting in on reputation when he's tied with the other guy in touchdowns and he has 59 catches. Right. By the way, his quarterback has literally sucked it off all year almost. So he doesn't have Tom Brady clicking or Aaron Rodgers clicking. And he still leads his team in receptions.
Well, Dustin Keller has the same amount of yards within two. I think Hernandez is 772, Keller is 770. And Keller has like 20 fewer receptions, same amount of touchdowns. So which one of those is the better year? If a running back had 25 more carries for the same amount of yards and the same amount of touchdowns, which guy would you say had the better year?
Right.
The guy with the fewer carries, right?
But I also hold the quarterback against people. Like Dustin Keller is
Absolutely.
Stuck with Mark Sanchez.
Right.
So his numbers are more impressive than with Brady. And I think Gates is impressive because Rivers hasn't been very good, and there were portions when other guys were hurt. I mean, he's still the focal point of that offense.
And listen, if Hernandez made it, I wouldn't sit there and say, well, they should have a recount. That's ridiculous. He's had a Pro Bowl-type season. 72 catches for 772 yards, 6 touchdowns. That's a Pro Bowl-type season. To me, I think there are a lot of tight ends in the AFC I'd rather have. With Gronkowski, there ain't one.
And I'm not even sure it's really a Pro Bowl-type season in the modern era. I don't want Bill to yell at me and poo-poo it, but
what do you mean by that?
Gronkowski has 1,200 yards. Hernandez has 700. So maybe the new modern tight end is a 1,000-yard receiver with 85 catches and double-digit touchdowns in this new era of Jimmy Graham and these athletes and all this, big numbers.
See, I look at him as a different position, and I don't necessarily call it tight end. So, I look – Hernandez.
Oh, no, he's a slot receiver. Like, he should be with guy, Welker. That's the comparison.
I look at a guy like Heath Miller, for example. Probably doesn't have anywhere near the stats that he does. I'd take Heath Miller as a tight end.
But until they do something to change all the voting – they're tight ends. They're all in the same mix.
But I'm just saying why I don't think it's necessarily wrong that he didn't make
using
it.
To me, Jimmy Graham is not a tight end. Rob Gronkowski's far and away the best tight end because Jimmy Graham's a receiver every bit as much as anyone
else. But I think if you're
going to
go by that position, I think that in the NFC there's a lot of guys.
Witten and
that had better years.
Finley.
Witten is a traditional tight end.
Witten
Finley
is in the Gronk
and Graham are Hernandez, but I think they're better than Hernandez.
Oh yeah.
Well, at that role. Is.
Right.
But they're in the NFC, so they didn't knock him off the team.
And I think that's really it. I mean, Slater, I don't think of as a pro bowler, but a special teams pro bowler, you never really know who's going to get
it. How do you think he gets in?
I think because he played defense. I think that got him notoriety with players probably. He started some games, made some plays at defense, and that got his name kind of on the radar.
So?
And I think that got him votes.
And I think they tend to look at the better teams with some of those positions and say, who's the guy that does this for that team?
But you look at the Patriots special teams, and it's okay.
But we've always had guys.
It's not like the old, I'm trying to think of great Buffalo Bills special teams of the past, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think that if you look over the years, you know, the Patriots have been well represented at that spot.
Oh, Larry Izzo.
You know?
Had it for years. He had a lock on it.
But that's where I think, and we were talking about this yesterday, I think Larry Izzo was way better than Matthew Slater. And this is not a shot at Matthew Slater. I just. If I'm comparing those two things in my head of what a Pro Bowl guy is, Izzo was in a different league.
But he was excited about it. You know,
as
he
should be.
About it. Yeah.
Jackie's ball.
And it's a great
going
story.
To Hawaii,
it is a great story with, you know, his father was. I mean, how many father-son Pro Bowl combinations have there
right.
been?
Six.
Really? There's been that many?
No. I
was surprised that when you said that.
I'm going
so
Matthews.
I thought maybe you would talk to Aaron.
Well,
Matthews. Is there a father-son?
I thought there was in that mix somewhere.
Okay.
Because aren't there like five of them?
Yeah, I think there are a lot. I just didn't know there were Pro Bowlers.
I was thinking that this also might be the record for the most amount of brothers involved in the league at the same time, coaches and players, when you look at it.
I have no idea.
I'd say five.
So
absolutely no idea.
No?
So there was that happy locker room today. Eight guys, as Andy said, eight different guys making the Pro Bowl. There were a lot of guys talking about it being honored with the award. So it was a happy locker room today. A lot of guys talked, and a lot of guys were happy to talk.
Good. All right.
Eric was sort of playing Andy's side of the
fence. Oh, Eric came in today?
He did.
Oh, great.
We were going to say the same thing to you. We thought you were proving a point to Eric by not showing up today.
You know, sight unseen.
See what happens when people don't just show up for work? It ruins everything.
I was worried about you, Freddie.
Sure.
But he was playing the Andy side of the fence a little bit in the Brian Waters interview.
He yelled at him.
He asked him if he yelled at him.
Well, not yelled, but I was a good 30 feet away and couldn't hear the whole interview until Brian Waters started looking right at Eric and his voice went up about seven Richters.
I didn't really notice anything. I was actually surprised that
What happened?
Eric asked him if it was, if at that position, you know, with the offensive line, do you think that there's a little bit of reputation involved?
Eric devaluing his Pro Bowl.
And I'm thinking to myself, you basically just asked him if he thought he only made it on reputation.
Wow.
But he actually answered that he has a lot of thoughts on the Pro Bowl, and now's not the time to go into it, but the way it's voted for and when it is and where it is. And I told Eric, keep that in mind. That might be an off-season, just random topic. You know, Brian Waters, a longtime Pro Bowler, what he thinks, how it should be done. And
It's before the Super Bowl again, right?
Yes, the 29th.
Right, so there's a good chance that our eight guys aren't going to be there.
Right, better than good chance.
Sorry. I was going to put it at 25%.
Either way, there's going to be a lot of guys missing because it's Patriots, Niners, 8 apiece, and Packers, Ravens with 7 apiece. So there's a good chance 15 guys or so, one of those two teams, Pittsburgh's also in the mix, Saints also in the mix, but there's a good chance a lot of these guys aren't there.
Well, it gives them something to do.
And Andre Carter, did you know it was his first Pro Bowl?
I did not.
I did not either. And he can't go. That sucks.
Well, can he go anyway? Don't they let him go anyway?
Oh, I think he can. But, I mean, you want to go. You want to practice. You want to screw around. You want to do the helmet swapping where you bring
Can you
stuff?
Imagine what Gronkowski's going to do?
Oh, my God.
Or who he's going to do?
Oh, for God's sake. See? You see?
He joked that.
He'll definitely have a lay.
He joked that Bill told him, called, I guess, all of them individually into his office yesterday, and somebody asked, when you were told you were getting called into Bill's office, were you worried? And he goes, I did ask whether it was for good thing or bad thing. Because you know he's probably scanning through his head, what did I do this week?
Right.
Who was I with? What photo?
No, more likely, how did he know about that?
Right. All right, let's go quickly to the phone. We'll take Chris from Virginia on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Chris.
Hey, how you doing? I was just calling. How you guys doing today?
You are calling,
Chris.
What's up?
Yeah. Well, he wanted to.
I was wondering, what do you guys think about our defensive backfield and Devin McCourty? If he's a solid solution, also what are we going to do with our safety position this year or next year? Because obviously, I don't think we can do much this year about it.
No, I don't think you can do much about it. And we've seen that the answer, quote unquote, according to Fred, is get Patrick Chung back out there. And I think that'll definitely help. That pushes one of these guys who shouldn't be a starter out of the starting lineup and at least lets Ahedebo be the number two guy next to the experienced, proven Chung. But overall, I think the secondary is what it is. You're going to give up. Quick side note, did you know that Devin McCourty is going to give up more yards than any cornerback
ever
since pro football? Well, since 2008.
Since they charted.
It's only 4 years. But first guy to give up 1,000 yards if he gives up, I believe it's 15 or 12 this week.
15.
They've never charted a corner that's given up 1,000 yards. Now, part of that is, keep in mind, it's a little bit like my interception theory.
Right.
Only good corners get to give up 1,000 yards because at some point, if you're Darius Butler, you stop playing. You don't get to go out there. It's guys like McCourty who get the chance to keep going out there.
But or you're Revis and they don't throw it your way, so you don't get a chance.
Well, I'm going to say...
No, I'm saying only a decent corner is left out there long enough to give up 1,000 yards.
I'm going to say under normal circumstances, he would not have been left out there throughout this.
What normal circumstances?
I think if they didn't cut all their defensive backs in the summer and they had an option, they'd have gone to one. They're all gone.
Maybe. I'm not sure you bench a Pro Bowl corner in a second yet. I'm not sure that happens.
I think he'd have lost some time based on his performance this season. Plus, he missed time. He missed two games?
At least one.
At least one.
Should have missed more.
Plus half of
the game he got injured. Chris, as far as addressing the safety position, I think that, I said it yesterday, in the draft or free agency, just keep going after the best players available, because I don't think there's any one position on defense that is less in need than the other.
And safety's a spot you can get a good to great player in the second or third round.
Yeah.
I know everybody's been critical of the second round picks, but there's a lot of teams that get good to great players in that you don't have.
I think the second round's the sweet spot for safety.
In fact, a lot of busts come at safety in early in the first round. These guys that are supposed to be game changers that don't end up being great in the first round. So that's the good thing. Maybe if, we've talked about targeting a pass rusher early, maybe you can still get a good to great guy later. Somebody like Chung or better.
Right.
Knowing Bill Belichick, though, I mean, I wouldn't see him picking up someone during the off season, or I wouldn't be surprised even if he kept the same backfield, kept the same defensive back as he did last year.
Well, I'll be stunned.
No way.
If you start next year with this defensive backfield, I'll be stunned.
These guys are guys that he's finding off the street at this point.
I mean, I think McCourty and Arrington will be back, no question, but I don't think that you'll see all the other guys that have been major parts of this defense.
And you won't see McCourty, as you said. You won't see McCourty get a second run at 1,000 yards allowed.
Right.
He'll have somebody ready to go in next year.
Yeah, McCourty, Arrington, and Chung, you can lock them.
You got to think Rasai Dowling.
On the roster.
Well, and Rasai Dowling.
You got to think Dowling will be part of the equation.
He could be the guy that unseats McCourty. McCourty will not get 16 games to suck again. He won't. They won't allow it. Paul's right. They'll have somebody in the wings ready to go, theoretically. If they get hurt again, okay, whatever. But he will not be allowed to stink for a full year.
Yep.
See, I think McCourty has athletic tools to be a corner from what I was seeing, because when he does get burnt, he's there with the guy. He's covering good. I think it's just more of the mental aspect. And you know, I can't really figure it out watching him play during these games.
Yeah, I can't figure it out either. I don't think he's been there a lot this year. And I think if you didn't have last year in your mind, you would be absolutely shredding him. He gets toasted. Guys get behind him every play.
He certainly it's wasn't only there because on Saturday.
He's a Pro Bowler last year that you have the good plays in your mind from last year that you give him any
we
rope.
We should go back and evaluate the plays last year that he made.
That's actually a good offseason thing. Yeah. Let's write that in the whiteboard. That's a good offseason project. Find out why he was so good last year, and maybe we break down some of the plays that he made.
Yeah. All right, Chris, thanks for the call.
All right, thank you, guys. Appreciate that.
You're
welcome.
Thanks, Chris. Paul can do it on Patriots Today, but instead of the Bellistrator for Belichick, it's the Bellistrator.
I knew that was coming.
Brian Lowe pinch hitting on All Access today.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. What's stepping in for Mike Reese.
Oh. Did you get to talk?
Yes. Mike Reese stepping in for Scott Zolak, who evidently is not here.
To do the Bellistrator.
Mike Reese will be doing that segment.
Wow. That's a big segment. That's a lot of earth on his shoulders.
And they're little shoulders. They're kind of petite.
Let's go to Big Don in California. Hey, Big Don.
Hey, what's up, fellas? Long time no hear from.
You should put a G at the end of that name. Then you can be Big oh.
Big Don.
I was Big Don from Cali, man. That's what I would prefer, man.
Okay. Do you surf?
I got a question for you fellas, man. Two questions, and then I get off the air.
Okay.
Is there any reason why you think, like, major reason that our secondary is struggling so much? Do you think it's the coaching, or do you just think it's just we don't have any talent?
It's pure talent. It's pure.
I'm not sold on that.
Really?
I mean, you don't think McCourty has talent?
I do think McCourty has talent.
I think the jury's out.
And Patrick Chung, does he have talent?
Well, if he played.
They stunk early in the year when he played.
Yeah, but safety has less to do with that than I think. I didn't see Patrick Chung screwing up.
I don't think he has a lot of talent in terms of pass coverage. I don't think that's his strength.
You know, in the little we saw of Chung,
Kyle Arrington to me is a backup at best.
I think he's just there to fill out the roster spot.
I think Kyle Arrington's a great story.
Yeah, he certainly is. But I think coaching is involved. I find it hard to believe all these guys regress and the guys complain about coaching. Yeah. Maybe there's something to that.
That's something I want to, I'd like to get to the bottom of that. I don't know how you ever do it, but.
So do you guys even think that we will bring in a defensive coordinator next year? Or
I wouldn't rule that out.
Still keep it?
I would.
I mean, I could see them elevating Matt Patricia and giving him the formal title.
That's not bringing in a coordinator.
No, but I wouldn't rule out bringing one in either.
I would, unless his name's Romeo Crennel
What about Romeo? You think Romeo will come back?
I think he's going to stay at Kansas City as the head coach.
Me too. And I'm not sure Bill wants to bring him back. Why didn't they try to bring him back last time?
I was hoping they would.
And they didn't.
I know.
They didn't try, is what I've read.
Yeah.
So do you think we need to blitz more or – like, play man up, because I remember when Raza Adalo was starting earlier in the year, he'll play a man coverage, like, face-to-face. Do you think we're missing, like, the blitz aspect out of the defense? More pressure, or, I mean,
well, look, I hate to, throw the in Bill I trust, but, look, I trust Bill to know his defense, and I trust the fact that if he thought he could be more effective blitzing more, I think he would. I think what he's doing right now is playing defense the way to as bad as it looks, to minimize points, and this is what he feels he can get away with.
Yeah, but they're giving up big plays.
I know.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So is there something to be said for, if we're going to give them up, we might as well have a chance at a forced fumble strip sack.
Yeah, but
I think they've blitzed a ton.
I don't know that they have a ton.
Especially lately.
They've given up big plays, but not leading to points.
When you guys interview Bill Belichick, do one of you guys like Andy said, this is the worst defense he ever seen in his life? Do one of you guys would you guys get fired if y'all say that to Bill?
No, but we'd get MF'd.
Oh, okay.
We try to not do that. We don't like it when he storms off the thing and says,
yeah. Blip, 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 blip. In all seriousness, that's pretty disrespectful too. Don't you think?
Oh, I mean, all right, thanks, Big Doc.
I don't personally.
I mean, he didn't mean it to be as bad as it is.
I know, but it is. I don't think it's disrespectful to say, Bill, you've never given up more yards than this, and you're giving up big plays, and your points that everybody was rallying around have continued to drop in the rankings. You know, this looks like the worst defense you've ever coached here in New England.
And before this season, there was probably another season that was the worst, but this took it over. You know what I mean? It's all relative.
I'm pretty sure that's a fact.
but it's all relative to the league. You know what I mean? It's
well, they rank 32nd in whatever they are now in points.
Right, but it's not like, you know, the rest of the league's here and 32nd is way, way below it. It just, you know.
It's 32 spots below one.
But you know what I'm saying.
I don't, actually.
The number of yards. It's not like the Patriots have given up 10,000 yards and the next closest has given up 5,000.
Have you checked recently? Because at one point I checked and they were 80-something yards behind 31. Like a huge jump.
Total?
No. Per game.
Per game?
Yeah. Okay. It was a while ago, admittedly, so I don't know if that's cleaned up.
Okay.
But they were literally massive leap. It was like 28, 29, 31 were pretty close, and then it was a massive Grand Canyon to the Patriots. I don't know if that's the same. I haven't checked recently.
Well, I don't know.
But also, Fred, when the defense sucked, the team sucked. 0-2, they sucked, right? And the defense sucked. So I think that's what people are reading into this. Even though they're winning regular season games, when we've seen bad defenses, it's been the reason they haven't won, right?
Well, you know, 2000 was terrible.
And they sucked.
Right.
Well, the 2000 team was not good in anything.
Right, but they had a bad defense.
And 0-2, you know, they sucked. And what happened? They didn't go to the playoffs.
You know, so
0-5, they sucked. And what happened?
You know, it'd be interesting if he thinks this is the worst defense he's ever had.
In 3 years, he'll tell us.
You know, yeah. You know, in another video, we'll find out. If he
doesn't
thinks.
Rank anything good, why would he rank it bad?
We couldn't even compete.
Right.
It'll be some
right.
throwaway sentence.
Right.
He won't say that is the number one worst defense I've ever coached, but he'll let you know.
You know, we were throwing guys out there, and he was naming names in 2000, you know.
Friggin'.
Right.
Nick Jones, I'm signing off the scrap.
Exactly. Here. You know, so he won't say it now because these guys are on his team.
Right. That was a little shot at you. In some video, we'll see.
Well.
That was a little snide little shot.
That's how we find things out, is, you know, on the NFL film stuff.
That's the director of new media for the Patriots with a little bit of a snide shot.
All right. Webradio at Patriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline.
Kevin would like me to read you a quick tweet from Chad Ochocinco.
Okay, you read that tweet, then we'll take a break.
Our famous Twitterer here. Chad Ochocinco tweets, "During sex, I suddenly stopped and didn't move. Evelyn said, quote, 'What are you doing?' 'Me. I've seen this on YouPorn. It's called buffering. Shut up.'"
All right, we'll be right back.
Dear business traveler, high in the sky, it's for important work that you do fly. But on JetBlue, we've made your job more fun, with free DirecTV to play when your tasks are done. And with 40-plus nonstop straight from Boston, you won't have layovers to cities like Austin. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Luana, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand by flying JetBlue for business. Book now at JetBlue.com/business. DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah,
good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
What do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature.
Right? Yeah.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots Checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots Checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochere. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Hey, Tom, what's on your holiday wish list?
Joy and happiness to all.
Oh, because I was thinking of giving you packaged coffee from Dunkin' Donuts.
Ooh, that's better.
Nothing beats Dunkin's packaged coffee. Right now, buy 3 pounds and get a fourth free. Only at Dunkin' Donuts restaurants. So give America's favorite coffee as a gift or stock up yourself. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
Happy holidays, everyone! Glad you could make it to the house! Who's up for some Dunkin' coffee? Yeah. Grandma, let's start with you!
Hazelnut, please!
Cousin Mark?
Original blend!
Vanessa?
Your holidays are covered with Dunkin' coffee. Buy it by the pound or try our new Dunkin' K-Cup packs. Only at Dunkin' stores. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots Checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots Checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
From the photos Andy was telling me.
No. Unlike the rest of the world, I didn't clamor to go see
Brett Favre's junk when it was available online. I still have not seen his junk, just like I haven't seen Greg Oden's. I don't seek out male penises.
See?
Unlike some men in this world.
Couldn't agree with them more. I've never seen one of those photos.
But I like breasts. But they said Jen Sturger photos available, see why Favre was after her. But online, I'd be dialing it up
tonight.
Matter
of fact, I have done that.
I like breasts. I'm passionate about breasts.
I think that's really funny, though. Why would you ever do like a Google search on Greg Oden's junk?
Right.
Did you see Brett Favre's?
Yes.
Did you see Brandon Spikes?
Yes.
I don't get that. I don't know why you would want to see
just
that.
Watching it.
That's another great moment from PFW in Progress.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. We're talking about the Pro Bowl. We're talking about the locker room today, the Buffalo Bills. What else are we talking about? The defense.
You're talking about defense, and I looked up some numbers.
Sure.
The 2000 defense that you so disparaged.
Right.
They allowed for the season 5,363 yards, an average of 334 per game. The Patriots currently, with one game left, have averaged have given up 6,182 yards, an average of 412 a game. So that's almost that's over 80 yards
right.
per game different.
That's a different league too.
And they allowed 321 points. Right now the Patriots have they allowed 338 that year. So was a 5-11 team.
They actually allowed more points back then?
No.
You said 338 to 321.
So if they hit their average, they will not have allowed less points.
About the same.
No. They're only averaging 17 points allowed.
So, but right now,
now Buffalo could go out and, you know, stink it up and whatever. That could happen. But if the Patriots allow their average, they'll have allowed more points this year than they did in a 5-11 season with, as you said, no players.
Yeah.
Right? They had no players in that team.
Right.
So what does that say about the players this team has on defense?
They need a lot of help.
Okay.
They need a lot of
it's
help.
It's no different. This team has no players either, though.
But
it's the same exact thing when you're adding Alex Silvestro every week, and every week there's a new guy they're adding to this defense. And I mean, they don't have a full complement of defensive
players.
No,
they don't. They don't. They don't have a starting lineup.
No, that's a good point.
Cole from Waterloo. I took a look at the Pro Bowl rosters and want to send my congratulations to all the Pats selected. Couldn't help but think back to the 07 season when the Pats were undefeated and yet weren't the highest represented team at the Pro Bowl. Dallas and San Diego both had more chosen that year. The Packers were 13-0 and will probably end up 15-1. Shouldn't they be the most represented at the Pro Bowl? Wouldn't you say that the Packers have many players who are playing as well as anyone in the league? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. What are your thoughts? I don't go by
You're
that
the
at
bitch.
All.
That's who I'm...
I don't go by that at
no,
all.
No,
it's not about wins
just
and losses.
See who's good.
Football is a team game.
That's a whole different thing. That's an individual... You know, they talk about it all the time. Those are great. It's nice, but we don't play for individual games. I don't think it's about who has the most wins. Now, usually the better teams have better players, so they get a lot of Pro Bowlers.
Is that an extension of the win-based formula? The better teams have better players.
No, it's not an extension of that.
Cape Cod Scott, speaking of, yesterday was a
pissa.
We were
talking about Cape Cod Scott?
Yesterday was a pissa, an hour of heated argument over a phrase that's clear as a bell.
Your mother.
As well as, it's not the same as
better. I thought you were apologizing.
But the woman, Mrs. C or T.
But it was a lot of fun listening nonetheless. Regarding the Wilson Hart, I noticed a pattern with Andy's picks. So I went back the last 3 weeks, and Andy picked the favorite 38 times against the spread, and only 8 times did he take the points. So against the spread, he went 8-8, 7-8-1, and 8-8. That makes sense because I'm guessing the split between favorites and dogs winning is pretty close to 50-50 over the long haul. Don't know what to make of that observation, just thought it'd be worth discussing.
No.
Anyway, I'm glad you all had a good Christmas, and I'd like to wish you all a happy New Year and at least a couple of postseason wins for the Patriots. And also, your TV show...
At least a couple.
Your TV show is by far the best of the Football Night 3 shows.
Hey.
Is it doing okay ratings-wise?
That is reflected in the ratings.
It's killing.
Certainly in the key demographic that they care about at Comcast.
I mean,
we always kick ass.
Comparably, we're doing very well. But to other shows we're not doing.
Well, based on
American Idol?
Yeah.
No, yeah. I mean, shows on regular networks, network TV, yeah. We pale in comparison.
Or even, I mean, but it's on a network where you're only getting sports eyeballs to come to it. No, right. My mother doesn't, or, you know, the random person
Plus
doesn't just
cable.
Click over to Comcast. But even on cable, you know, there's more general networks. Only sports fans go look to see what's on 852.
Exactly. Exactly. So we're doing very well. And you don't compare it to, you know, like Fred, you know, jokingly throw it out, you know, American Idol that has, you know, what, 30, 40 million
right.
viewers per night.
But you can't even compare it to one of our competitors is Chronicle on Channel 5, regular TV, but also appealing to a wide, you know, there's food, there's art. That's a general TV show for general
right.
audiences. We're not that.
But
we're
the only shows on those channels like NESN and Comcast Sportsnet that do markedly better than we do are their actual games.
Are the right. games.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, generally, you know, where our numbers are or what their numbers are for their other programming, we're at the high end, really. Because we're ahead of
really?
Some.
I don't know why.
We carry the network.
We're at some, because there are some of the other programs they have that don't do as well.
I think it's a good time slot, too.
I think it
we're
is.
Talented.
It's before, like, the real good shows start on the networks.
No,
before
seriously.
The good shows start. You know, you're looking for things to watch
I
at that
I think we're
time.
Competing with Chronicle. I think that's very impressive, the numbers we put up competing against Chronicle. And what else is on it? That Jeopardy. That's yeah. another popular one with teenagers all the way through old coots. I think we do a very competitive job.
Okay. Mike writes in. He's in Methuen. He says, just want to say that yesterday you guys hosted as well as anyone's ever hosted PFW before.
At what point do I snap?
However, I found it amazing that Andy, the king of picking up on things, i.e. Lankins instead of Logan Mankins, could not grasp the simple wording that as well as does not equal better than. It simply means as well as. Let me see if I can put it in heart and ease. Andy, B.B. Jones can blank a blank as well as any other actress performing her craft. Doesn't mean she's better, but means that during some incredibly emotional scenes, she was just as good as the best we've ever seen. Eric, we're talking...
But who's the best we've ever seen? Is it Jenna Jameson? Is it...
Eric, we're talking women only, so don't chime in with any actors that you know are better. Oh, I get that.
Eric's not here, though, so...
Well, you know what? If he's not going to be here, I'm going to start reading these emails.
Okay.
You know,
when did you stop reading those emails?
No, I lay off.
Really? There's more than that?
Oh yeah.
I thought you read them all.
No, I don't. I hold back a lot.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah.
That is really troubling for Eric.
Heart and ease. I like that.
Kyle,
just so you know, I want to give a little update.
Yeah.
The hilarity continued after the show yesterday when the three of us were going upstairs and we continued to talk about why it was that Andy couldn't figure out as well as is not necessarily saying better.
Kyle, I got a feeling this isn't going to die.
No,
but
I also agree with Andy. It's going to end when he someday snaps
when I start swearing.
Kyle at UNH, I know we have been over the releases of Sanders and Merriweather 1,000 times, but when I see Deshaun Goldson, a safety who the Patriots looked at in the offseason making the Pro Bowl, and Darren Sharper working on TV, it ticks me off. As happy as I should be that we're the number one seed right now, I just cannot shake this frustration with Bill's handling of the safety position this season. We are starting players who probably would not even make another team's roster. I just don't understand it. Bill is clearly smarter than me, I guess.
Well,
we know that. He's smarter than all of us. Looking
forward
to the new year in which we will surely be booted from the playoffs again. Wow.
That's a little negative. Deshaun Goldson, there's nothing. I mean, you could be frustrated that he didn't sign with the Patriots, but the Patriots tried to sign him, and he signed with San Francisco.
Could have signed him more money. Could have made him an offer he couldn't refuse, right?
I suppose, but they... I thought they did offer her more money.
No, I believe they did, but at some point, wouldn't you reach where he goes, I just got to take that. That's good money.
Right, but you just can't do that all the time. You know?
I have no problem. I mean, I think they went after a guy that was not considered to be a guy that you do that to, my opinion.
No, he isn't.
But and he ended up staying with his original team, which is not, you know, hard to understand. Darren Sharper isn't playing. There's no need to be upset that he's on TV.
And no one else picked him up either.
Would you rather have a big-named guy who sucked?
Right.
Because that's all it would be.
Somehow I think people would say, well, it wouldn't be this bad if we had Darren Sharp. Well, I think it would be. Otherwise, someone would have picked him up.
But this is another story that, you know, after the 2011 season, maybe someday we'll find out. What was the story? Why did he get rid of James Sanders and Brandon Merriweather? You know,
but Merriweather's not as big a story.
But when you combine both of them,
right.
That's the thing.
How do you cut Sanders knowing you're going to cut Merriweather?
Right, right.
And knowing you have good reason to cut Merriweather, because I think we all agree he had good reason.
Or how do you cut Sanders even if you think you might?
Right.
Cut Merriweather.
I don't get it.
Because maybe at the time they cut Sanders, they were holding out hope that Merriweather would get
it. Like 2 weeks later or something.
Oh, it was like 2 days later.
Well, something must have happened.
That was later that week.
It was? I thought it was like.
They do the first cut on Tuesday and the last cut's on Saturday.
No, but
he was
after
that. I thought they cut Sanders early.
Yeah.
I think Sanders went down in the early cut.
Yeah. No, it was even
and then
before
the final cut.
They gave him. They did it before, like 2 days before the first cut.
So it's still inside a
but
week.
But Merriweather wasn't part of the cuts. He was after. I thought
he was on the final cut that day.
Was he?
Yes.
I thought Sanders was early, and Merriweather was the final cut.
You're absolutely right. But it was within a week.
Well, whatever. Nothing changed that much between that.
No way.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
What? They knew they were getting rid of Merriweather. They were trying to trade him.
And they were right on that one.
You don't try to trade a guy,
right.
You know, spur of the moment.
No, I know.
Hey, I got an idea. Let's see if we can get something on cut down day for Mary. No, they knew he wasn't going to be part of this team, and they still got rid of Sanders. That's the part of it that we didn't understand.
And we were right, because Merriweather doesn't play for the Bears, and Sanders does play for the Falcons. Not necessarily well, but.
Let's go back to the phones. 508-298-0398.
Got blowed out the other night.
Dick is in Maine. Hey, Dick. That's his name.
Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Dick, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
You guys?
We're doing good.
Are you big, Dick?
Sounds like your blood pressure's down today.
I do feel better, yes. I'm a little more relaxed.
Dick,
he's just relaxed
ain't over
as
yet.
I've ever seen him.
Show ain't over yet.
I was a little embarrassed by my performance yesterday, I'll admit it.
I was concerned.
Thank you, Dick. I appreciate that, Dick.
I was calling... looking at the history, the past couple of years, the number of injuries that have occurred, and I was thinking about the shortened training season versus the new trainer versus Bill tends to draft some people who have injury histories.
Yes,
and
he does.
It keeps happening over, and I know it's a crapshoot doing that, but, Kronk has worked out. But then Dowling is out.
Right.
But it always seems like, particularly in the draft, that he's looking for steals at lower picks. But at the same time, he's picking sometimes damaged goods.
Yeah, and I think there's a difference between Dowling, who's been injured his entire life, dating back to high school, and Gronkowski, who had one, albeit major injury, but a major injury that apparently the doctors signed off on him being passed. Kind of like Vollmer, had one major injury, but it was just one, whereas Dowling has been damaged goods his whole career.
Well, I think, and one of the things, and, the Patriots doctors come from Mass General Hospital, and supposedly that's one of the best hospitals in the world, so... If they tell you, if they give you an opinion, it's probably a good thing to trust that opinion.
But I think it's also different. If they say flat out, this major back injury has been fixed.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
That's different than Rozai Dowling. Medically, we can't say he's injury prone because that doesn't exist.
Right.
But football history tells you he's injury prone. But I don't think a doctor, A doctor can't say he's going to sprain his ankle.
Exactly.
Right. He's going to pull a hammy again.
You know what they say about those kind of guys? That they're always hurt, and they always will be.
And that's what Dowling was.
But that has nothing to do with a medical evaluation.
Right. No, that's a different.
So it doesn't matter if you have the best doctors in the world from MGH.
Right.
They can't tell you a guy is going to continue to be injury prone.
When you have those major injuries, it does help.
Right. To have confidence in them.
You can't tell the next time Rozai Dowling is going to sprain an ankle. It has nothing to do with a medical evaluation.
Surgery, and I don't know the difference between Vollmer and Gronkowski. I don't remember the details.
Or Marcus Cannon's, sickness. As well.
Yeah, that's a whole different ball of wax too. But Gronkowski and Vollmer, did they just both have back surgery?
Yeah.
And that was all?
Yeah.
That's something that you can
that
rely
was all,
on,
quote unquote.
No, I'm saying I thought that Vollmer had a history of back problems.
No, I believe he had a 1 year.
Whereas Gronkowski didn't have a history of back problems. He had back surgery to correct an
injury.
I believe
they're identical in terms of missed a whole year, had surgery, and never had any other issue with it.
But yeah, that you can
Till
get.
Now for
you can
Vollmer.
Get medical evaluations saying, yeah, he had this problem taken care of, and we're checking him out now. He's 100%.
That'd be cool if they get to DNA where they could actually label guys injury prone.
Yeah. Do you think the shortened training season or the new trainer, it just seems like some of these, you know, like
I don't
there
know.
There are injuries.
You know,
here's
guys
the thing.
Just aren't coming back very
well,
quickly.
But some of that is a decision. Like the one this week, everybody's saying Dan Copen, could he have played now if he had stayed on the roster? That was a team decision. They weighed the advice of the medical experts and said when would he even be close
right.
and decided it wasn't worth it to wait around and use the roster spot. Maybe they changed that opinion now. I don't know.
Right, well, Braylon Edwards just tweeted out.
Amazon IR. I don't recall ever hearing that he was hurt.
Who was this?
Cunningham.
Oh, yeah, he pulled a hamstring late in the season. It was like 2 weeks ago. That's an example. If it happened in week two, he wouldn't be on IR.
Right, or he might be. But I actually don't even know that that's injury-related, that they were just done with him for the year and he was hurt.
You know, because, Dick, the roster spots are valuable at this point. You see him pulling guys.
A hamstring can keep you off for the rest of the season
right.
at this stage of the season.
And if you're a guy who's irrelevant, who hasn't played,
exactly.
why wait
you
around?
Can't wait. Like Braylon Edwards was tweeted out yesterday. He was cut. And he said that the reason he was cut is because of his injury. He didn't have time to sync back up with the offense, so they cut him. You know, so sometimes the time of the year has as much to do with what you're going to do with the player than the
right.
injury.
And a guy like him was on a one-year deal, so he's not a long-term option. It's time to move on.
Right.
But I don't blame the training staff.
I don't either. And the Patriots, and I know this is hard because Fred sort of makes it sound like this, but this is something that every team is dealing
yes.
with.
Yes. And this the Patriots have dealt with under different doctors, different right. anything over the years.
The Patriots situation, unfortunately, in the NFL today, isn't really out of the ordinary.
Right. All right, Dick. Okay, Dick.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Well, thanks.
See, Dick.
All right.
Why do you have to do that?
What? His name is Dick.
Yeah, why? You know what you're doing.
Calling him by his name? I thought that was polite.
You're being as juvenile as you've ever been.
That's not true.
Let's go to Dan and Harriet. Hey, Dan.
How's it going, gentlemen?
Good.
I hope everybody's holiday was happy and healthy.
It was.
Tremendous. You?
Very well. Back in Gloucester, Mass. with the family.
More importantly, what'd you get Harriet for the holiday?
I got her, you know, some nice new milk bones, a few new playthings. Of course, she's rather picky with her playthings. It takes a while for her to warm up to them.
Oh, okay.
You know, she's very particular.
I see.
Should have got her a steak.
A woman thing, though.
Should have got her a steak.
Yeah, maybe next year. I don't know. Maybe for her birthday when it comes around. But
when is her birthday?
Not for another year. It's November 1st.
Okay, good to know. I want to wish her a happy birthday next year.
Okay, well, maybe, hopefully we'll be on the show day.
People he hates. Dogs he'll wish a happy birthday to.
Well, people don't. I mean, dogs don't annoy me.
Yeah, I'm not crazy about a number of people myself.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you there. I'd much rather have a dog.
There's plenty of dogs that I've met that I'd take over a lot of people.
Agreed.
I'm with you there.
But, just a little concerned about something I heard from Mr. Hart earlier in the show, saying that, you can get a quality safety in the second round. Sounds a lot like good value to me.
I actually don't think so. I think Andy's right on this.
It sounds like it, but I'm just using recent history and I'm not looking for value, quote unquote. I'm just looking at what's transpired. And I think there's worse value near the top where a lot of these top safeties don't live up to their paychecks as top 10, top 15 picks. And I think, like running backs, you can get a lot of very good productive safeties in the middle of the draft.
I'm going to miss some, but I know there's been guys like LaRon Landry and Michael Huff and Dante Whitner and Eric Berry, okay? Eric Berry is the one that stood out to that hit.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of guys that were supposed to be these can't-miss, do-it-all safeties that impact the game from that
and,
spot.
And that's lately.
And not
because,
very many of them
right.
hit.
Because
but there's a ton of safeties in the second round,
right.
like Lewis Delmas, for one that pops right into my head, that have been very impactful players in the second round. And I think that's where you get them.
And up
Eric
until,
Weddle,
recent, up
like
until
third
recently,
or fourth,
safeties
you don't even like him.
No,
safeties weren't really looked at in the first round as much as they've been lately. It
all of a sudden, it's become – that's another one that's on our whiteboard of a draft-related story that we want to sort of look at. It suddenly became in vogue to go after these safeties that can do a little bit of everything.
Because of the passing.
But what we're finding out is they're not very good.
Right.
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 Well, where I think you're definitely right on that point. Yeah, there are a lot of running backs that you can get in the second round. I mean, what was it, Maurice Jones-Drew, Wendell White were good backs. But on the safeties, I think you're right that they definitely can't go back there in the first round again, because that would be, what, the third year in, what, 4 or 5 years where they've taken a safety in the first round. I mean, you can't keep going back to the well of that position.
Well, and you think about the safety position in college. You know, if the guy was really, really that talented in pass coverage, he'd be a cornerback. You know, so there's a reason he's a safety, you know. And so it's kind of the whole trickle-down thing. You know, that safety position is kind of like the right fielder. Now, it's become more important lately in football because more and more teams, you know, pass, and you need that, you know, you need sometimes five defensive backs on the field more often, and then that guy needs to be able to play the run too.
Well, I was going to say, even more than having to defend the pass, the guy needs to be versatile
right.
enough for these spread sets that you're not getting a bad matchup when yep. he's lined up in a slot receiver.
Right.
You know, he's not necessarily a corner, but he's corner-like in his coverage ability, but he also has to have a little bit of that linebacker-like run ability. So you're right, it's a position that to match versatile offenses with guys like Hernandez and Gronkowski, you need versatile safeties that can match up with it. The one thing I wanted to they've only drafted one safety in the first round, Merriweather.
The Patriots.
Yeah.
That's right.
Okay.
Speaking of safeties, I mean, Patrick Chung, I like his work ethic definitely, and I think he's shown in the past that he has accountability where I think he, what was the fake punk cinch?
Yep.
Big punt situation came out, said that was my call. But aside from a few end zone interceptions that, while they were very timely, I think maybe we overvalued the player.
He's gotten better the less he's played. There's no question about that. The idea of Patrick Chung is better than the player. But
happens a lot.
The player happens is also a lot better than the players that have been playing. So,
well, yeah.
He's had
what are you comparing that to?
He's had a handful of really, really good games. He just is not consistent enough. And part of that is injuries. He just doesn't – he's always battling something.
And part of what I like about him is I think he has a contagious style of play. I think he throws his body around.
Yes.
And I'm not sure there's a lot of guys on this team that do that, that make you feel like, okay, he's going to get a little defensive momentum, a little excitement going here. I think Brandon Spikes has that to him a little bit too. I'm not saying he's the best player in the world, but I think he has a contagious something to him the way he plays.
Right. And you need that on defense.
Go get that looked at.
In that regard, I think he's – like Bob Sanders. Unfortunately, now I think he's got the other thing that reminds me of Bob Sanders,
right.
The injury situation.
That's right.
And he's certainly not in that league in terms of he's not a defensive player of the year candidate.
Nah, not a playmaker like
that. Well, yeah, and he's not making multiple 100 tackle seasons.
Right. And he doesn't have massive biceps. Right.
But I think he does
wonder
have
where they
that.
Came from.
Dude knows
the
gap and make a few stacks every once in a while. I think if they blitzed him more.
Right.
I think it's better to have him than not have him, but I'm not sure he's the difference between being crappy and all of a sudden being good.
Yeah.
Mm. All right, Dan.
Thanks, Dan.
You guys have a good day.
You too. Happy New Year.
It's
that phenomenon, that's league-wide, too. Like, the teams that lose players, all of a sudden, every guy that's out, Andy and I were joking about it with Buffalo this week, and they've lost a ton of guys. I'm not dismissing it, but all of a sudden is these guys that you're like, geez, was he that good? Donald Jones, one of their receivers, Andy and I.
If they had him, they'd be in the Super Bowl.
You know, and all of a sudden, you know, you start putting all these pieces together and all these teams that are missing, all these guys. Geez, everybody would have been a Super Bowl team if player X that I never really even heard of hadn't gotten hurt back in week 8.
It's kind of like the steroid theory. Well, if they were all healthy, they'd be exactly the same as they were now because they're all injured now. So they'd all be a little bit better talent-wise, but every other team would be better too, so it would be irrelevant.
And another example of the way that his mind works.
Right? Aaron writes in.
Great ways.
Aaron writes in, I got to say this week's shows are as good as any of you've ever done.
That's
I mean, I'm not saying they've been better than all the other shows, but they are equal. Now, I'm just
Can I say an F-bomb?
I'm not just comparing them to regular Tuesday to Thursday PFW shows, but also considering pregame socials. I am excluding draft shows, however, as well as in-game message blogs. Hopefully that explains my compliments enough so that people who are as dumb as rocks can understand it. Now,
that's
moving
Dumbo
on.
Dumbo Hart on Twitter.
Overall, how do you feel about the Pro Bowl selections? I don't see any Merriweathers jumping out at me with this list.
No.
I'm especially happy to see Waters, Carter, and Slater make the list. Are there some guys on other teams that you feel similar about? I haven't even looked at the list, to be honest with you.
Fred just got here.
I haven't either,
I did.
Though. Yeah. I don't.
I scanned it. I didn't see. There's some names. I mean,
all the regular suspects are there for the most part. You know?
Oh, yeah. Like your safeties are Polamalu and Reed with Weddle thrown in. He leads, you know, tied for the league lead in picks.
Revis and Champ Bailey with two of the corners.
Von Miller made it, you know, as a rookie, as he deserved to. Trying to think. Nothing really
jumped
out.
Who was the third quarterback in the NFC? I know a lot of people were wondering, you know, Brees and Rodgers. Who was the third quarterback? Anybody? Anybody? Bueller?
Newton.
Did Newton go?
I don't know. Don't quote me on that. I know everybody was worked up. Tebow didn't, despite the fact that, you know, he's not a Pro Bowl quarterback.
He was, like, the second alternate, too.
He stinks.
Dalton was the first alternate,
which
you and I said he had a better year.
Tim Tebow is a solid fullback. Did you see my tweet, Fred? I tweeted that, can confirm, new Patriots fullback Lusaka is very polite.
We haven't even talked about that, but...
please.
But to finish up Aaron's email, he says, Andy, I have to call you out on a comment from today's show. You said you don't bench a Pro Bowl corner. So you can't bench a Pro Bowl corner, but you can't cut a Pro Bowl safety. Seems a bit inconsistent since you devalue the Pro Bowl title for some guys, but hold it up as a symbol of quality for others.
No, the difference is one is is barely a year removed from being a Pro Bowl corner. He has yet to prove that the bad is the bad.
And
Brandon Merriweather had proven that the bad was the bad, and there was more bad than good.
When Merriweather went to the Pro Bowl, he did not play at a Pro Bowl level. When McCourty did, he did. But I do think that, and I largely agree with him, I think if they had if Rasai Dowling was here all year, let's just say he's not the injury-prone guy, and he was healthy all year, I think he would have lost time. I really
Maybe.
Do. I think they didn't have anybody to go to.
Maybe.
I mean, you can't go to, you know, Antoine Molden, Phillip Adams, when that's your only option. I mean, they had Dowling and someone else, maybe they would have, you know, lessened his time a little bit. You know, if Lee Bodden hadn't been injury prone and hurt all, you know, all year, maybe he'd be settled into the starting job right now. And I just don't think that Bill would have trotted him out there for 16 games or 14 games, whatever the case may be.
I think if he was healthy, he would have played. Now, I think the injury would have lasted a lot longer.
Well,
he probably would have made like a month.
That is something for certain.
He might have also switched matchups. Maybe McCourty would be on another guy with Dowling out there. Mm-hmm. I don't know, you know. So it's
Bodden is probably the better example. If Bodden were healthy and playing the way he played in 09, I think there's a very good chance that Bodden and Arrington would have been your starting corners. And maybe McCourty comes in and Arrington goes to the slot on third downs.
Maybe.
You know, one of those deals. I'm not saying that McCourty would have been banished and never played. I just don't think he would have been out there three downs every week just to take a beating, because that's what ended up happening.
The Big Chadowski from Douglasville, Georgia writes, and I know we haven't had a player tagged as a fullback in a while, so does the signing of a fullback hint toward trying to bring back more run-focused game plan to the Patriots playbook? Or is this just a way to lessen the load of all the other players who aren't fullbacks, Gronk, Hernandez, Fletcher, whoever else they just throw in there, to let them focus on their own position more? Maybe this could mean more of Ridley. Just a thought. Love the show. And P.S., Andy, in no way did you make a valid point in the as well as debate, but, boy, you had me rolling. Love the show. Keep it up. Yeah, I mean, as soon as they signed Polite, I was like, okay. You know, that makes sense.
Do you want Bill's answer?
Yeah, go ahead.
I don't know. He hasn't even practiced. Can we get through one practice before I figure out what his role is going to be?
The idea that they needed another blocker, another big body, you know, and it wasn't a tight end that they signed or another offensive lineman.
See, I actually think that, and Andy and I talked about this, that it is really kind of the tight end duties. They want that third guy. I think they lost the flexibility of doing that with Solder.
Right.
Because of the situation up front on the offensive line. So they want a guy who can do that. Now, this guy is a traditional fullback, but I think he serves as an extra blocker in the running game. And he's basically your third tight end that you don't have.
And I think that the days of Tom Brady crashing into the line on the goal line is over.
I hope so.
You're not going to see that again this season.
So they learned that lesson when he got hurt?
You're not going to see it Sunday, but I would be.
I just can't see them doing that again in the playoffs.
You think they didn't? You think they ran a quarterback sneak on the goal line because they don't have a fullback?
Whatever reason they did it, okay, they're not going to do it
anymore. I think
they
felt like that was their best way to score.
But they're not.
I don't think they'll do it Sunday.
They're not doing it anymore for the playoffs.
Okay, I mean,
did you see him in the locker room? He couldn't lift his arm. It's because of the injury I'm talking about.
Yeah, but I think if they're on the one-inch line and they feel like that's the best way to get the ball over the goal line, they'll do it.
That no, not
in
if,
the playoffs.
Not if he's,
they're not going to do it next week.
Not if he's not going to. Not if he's going to be out for the game. No, they're not going to do it. It's done. Done.
But I'm making
a prediction right now. For no matter how long they go in the playoffs, you will not see Brady doing a sneak at the goal line again.
I'm not necessarily saying you're wrong with your prediction. I think your prediction will end up being right. But are you saying it has something to do with Lusaka Polite?
I'm saying that we need another option down there. We need, you know, if we can't run our running back into the end zone, then let's see if we can get a fullback.
We have five running backs. We need option number six.
Thank you. This is the part I don't get.
Maybe
they don't understand the blocking
for those guys.
I don't understand.
But wait a minute. Ben Jarvis Green Ellis has 22 touchdowns in the last 20 games.
Ryan Wendell can't do that? As the fullback?
Maybe they don't want to do that anymore with the
offensive
linemen.
Yes, because of the injuries on the offensive line.
Bringing linebackers in and doing it.
But I think it's because of the injuries on the offensive line.
Okay.
I don't think this has anything to do with Brady's quarterback
sneaks. But it's all about blocking and big bodies.
Why do you guys have to argue so much?
We're just having a discussion. I mean, I know it's not as relevant as well as, but, you know, we do our best.
You know my favorite part of
Well, let me ask you a question, Paul. Why do you think they thought they had better chance of scoring running Tom Brady than running one of the running backs?
Because I think Brady has never been stopped at a quarterback sneak.
Well, he got stopped once in the game on Saturday.
I missed it.
No, he did get stopped.
He got stopped.
Yeah. On Saturday?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I missed it.
They gave him two chances.
Yeah.
I saw him do a fourth and one that he got with a 3-yard sneak.
No,
and I saw
on
him
the
get
goal
two
line.
Touchdowns.
On the goal line.
He scored two touchdowns
on the goal line.
Yeah, he was
okay,
stopped.
Okay, so in four plays he scored,
but I think it's
two touchdowns and got a.
I think Jarvis Green Ellis. I'm starting to believe your little thing that he's been hurt all year and that he can't run. And Ridley, maybe Bill saw what I saw from Ridley, and he turns his back on the goal line.
Right,
and he doesn't. And you're not going to give it to Woodhead or Falk. So,
right.
Or Vereen was inactive. So, I mean, even though they have five guys, if one of them's hurt and two of them aren't really options, that only leaves one guy, and you might not like the one guy.
Yeah. So. It'll be interesting. I mean, this guy may not even make the team.
He could be gone tomorrow.
I'm not sure he makes it to Sunday. Yeah. I mean,
and this is Paul who thought Vincent Fuller was starting.
Yes.
You know, there's a reason why he's
available. You know how this is going to play. You think he won't make it to Sunday. He'll have 100 yards rushing on Sunday.
I didn't say he won't make it to Sunday.
You just said.
I said I'm not sure he makes it to Sunday. I wouldn't say it's a sure thing.
So you're not as sure
You really don't listen to people's words. That's your problem.
No, I do, actually.
You don't decide.
And that's what I find funny about this thing is, nobody proved to me what as well as means. Like,
I
haven't changed my opinion one bit.
That is Perillo-like stubbornness
the
right there.
The fact that we have to prove
everybody
to
has
you
said
what,
to me, it's
well
a comparison, but if you don't give me the comparison, it's not a comparison. You can't compare unknowns.
Whatever
you compare it to absolutely anybody you want.
See, I disagree.
You're leaving it up to the listener.
I think that's ridiculous because the quarterback position is played so many different
we're
ways.
We're not going to rehash that.
Does Peyton Manning play the same way as John Elway?
I have about a dozen emails here making fun of you.
And I'm okay with that. Unlike you people, I'm not sensitive, and I don't care what the morons think.
I didn't want to go back and redo this because we did it
I'd be
yesterday.
More than happy just, to.
Are you listening to this?
What?
You're missing this.
What's he saying?
Unlike you people, I'm not sensitive.
Oh, okay. Well,
I don't care what you morons think.
Unlike everyone else, at least I compliment the team that beat us. You sound like Rex Ryan.
What?
Okay, you're living
How
in your
you
own little
you're
bubble.
How can you say you're not sensitive?
I'm not. I find this stuff funny, actually. I like Hartnese. I might start using it.
So it's a normal reaction to tell some woman to go back into the womb.
Well, I was worked up at that point.
And with Bo Jackson, you're on your knees. Craig in Philly writes in. Hey, Craig.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
He said,
Craig.
We're still giggling about Indy yesterday.
Yeah.
Who's we? You got a mouse in your pocket?
You got a right to be embarrassed. No, anybody.
He's not.
Listening? I'm not embarrassed. Not like your mother.
Oh, see now, why do you do that?
You're not sensitive, though.
No,
see, I know Craig can take it. Of course
Andy
he can.
Being Andy,
Craig's
no.
one of our guys. I feel bad for the woman because I don't even know who she is.
Was Craig the first one ever to come and visit us in the studio?
Oh, no, we've had before.
He was up there early, though.
He was early.
I think he might have been the first one
him
ever
and his
to
bra.
Come and visit us.
Him and his bra.
Yeah.
How's your bra doing? What'd you get your brother for Christmas?
He's doing great, by the way. A stinking Giants fan. He was right. You know, he was in the studio that day saying, Pats and Giants, and we all called them crazy, and they ended up beating us in the frigging Super Bowl.
Who laughs last?
That was that recently?
07.
07?
Yeah.
Oh, you're probably right, Fred. Someone came in before then.
I had to listen to that for 2 years. Hey, you guys were talking about McCourty before. Yeah. I don't know what the deal is with him, if it's a vision issue or what, but he loses wide receivers like crazy. They're running around wide open, and the guy seemingly refuses to turn around and see where the ball is. I mean, nobody in the NFL has been more clueless as to where the ball is than McCourty.
Yeah, he's not even in a position to make a play. You know, like one of the callers earlier said, well, you know, he's right there. No, he's not. He's really not. Like
actually think he looks at the quarterback too much.
Yeah.
That's why he's getting beaten on all these double moves.
See, I think he looks at the quarterback early.
Yes.
And then can't look late because
he's
chasing
so
the guy
far
he
out
lost.
Of position.
Yeah.
But if he can't see a receiver on the – literally, if he has a vision problem, he can't see a receiver, we got major problems. He's legally blind.
I think if he's on the roster next year, he's playing safety.
No.
Oh, he'll be on the roster next year, and he'll be playing corner. He may get moved to safety at some point thereafter.
Let's just hope it's a sophomore slump, you know.
What does that mean, though?
A lot of guys come in, they show a flash as a freshman, and the
right.
bigger things are expected, and you feel a little bit good about what you did, and you think you got it
licked. Then the third year, they kind of settle into what they are.
Do you think he felt good about what he did? Like, is that part of it?
I don't know.
Didn't work, wasn't ready, out of shape?
I mean, not visibly
He's
out of shape, but I don't
know. He's a captain on this
know.
Team, so I assumed that the general belief was he was
mature.
All in. Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, I wish I had the answer for you, but it's just... I don't.
The other thing I wanted to talk to you guys about and get your feel on is, okay, so say if we win week one, okay, and then we're in the AFC championship game. Myself, personally, I'd much rather face Baltimore than Pittsburgh.
Me too.
I think much is probably strong, but I agree. I'll make it unanimous.
Depending on the health of Ben Roethlisberger.
I think Roethlisberger is better than Flacco, and that's the
way better.
That's the simple reason.
Well, that and the fact that Baltimore's coaching staff apparently has an aneurysm or something when they go on the road. Ray Rice is only running the ball 9 times a game when they're on the road, and they've had a losing record the last 2 years on the road.
Yeah, they also won a lot of road playoff games under this regime, too. So I wouldn't put too much stock into they can't win on the road.
No, you're absolutely right. You know, they blew us out, you know, one home game. That's it. But I would still much rather face
That's not
them.
The only road win they have as a play. They've never been at home under Flacco and Harbaugh in the playoffs. And they've won games every year.
Yeah.
They've been together.
Well,
this will be the fourth year together, right? Mm-hmm. They've gone at least one game. They've won at least one game each of the 3 years they've been together, and they've yet to play a home game.
Well... Yeah, the biggest reason why,
overrated.
And I know you guys are going to call me a homer, and that's fine. I don't give a crap, okay? Pittsburgh, when we played them earlier this year, okay, Ben's health is going to be an issue. He still threw for 330 yards a couple of games ago when he had the pick, okay? And against our secondary, that might have been 400, okay? So I don't want to play against Ben.
It was 400.
But the biggest reason why I don't want to play Pittsburgh is because they play – man-to-man very well, and during that game against them, and like I said, call me a homer, I'm sitting there watching that game, and I am swearing my ass off at the officials because our guys were getting held and mauled on every play, beyond 5 yards, you name it. And I'm like, how is anybody going to get open if these guys are holding them as much as they are? Now, the refs swallowed their whistles in Pittsburgh, and I don't know if they would do that in New England, but it was pitiful.
Yeah, the Patriots never get those calls. What?
Call you both homers.
Hey, they didn't that
game. At least Fred's
game,
kidding.
That's for sure. And if you guys don't believe me, you go back and watch it. It was a joke.
Yeah.
And Wes Welker about had a stroke. He was in worse shape than Andy was yesterday.
You've just described every Patriots receiver after every incomplete pass this season.
Not Ocho Cinco.
Well, that's because the ball never gets thrown to him.
All right, Greg.
All right, Craig. Branch and Welker have an aneurysm after every incomplete pass thrown their direction. Every single one.
Certainly well.
It's grown quite tiresome.
You should be used
all
to it.
All the receivers in the league.
Absolutely.
That,
couldn't agree with you more, Fred.
Dan in a car,
it's
right?
It's a joke. It's hard enough to force an incomplete pass, and every time you get one, they got to go on, you know, whoever the receiver is has to jump up and down like a little kid.
Dan, what's up?
Hey, guys.
You got a convertible or what?
Nah, I'm just driving down 95 right now.
Okay, careful.
Yeah, thanks. I'm good. I'm pretty happy about the fact that we got a, we got a first round bye. And I think that's a, that's a positive development. We've won when and we're in the AFC Championship game. The thing that concerns me is that the last couple of byes I remember, the team coming off those byes hadn't really played very well. I mean, we remember what happened last year in the playoffs against the Jets. And I seem to recall this year, did we play the Steelers coming off the bye?
Which year are you talking about?
This year.
Coming during the season.
I think you might be right.
Yes.
I'm looking that up as we speak.
It was either before or after. I think you're right. It was after.
No, it was before. It was coming off the bye.
Yeah,
yes,
coming
you
off
are right.
The, yep, yep.
They played Dallas on the 16th and Pittsburgh on the 30th. You're right.
Yeah, I remember, like, in years past, when the Super Bowl years, coming off a bye, we were pretty much a lock. So
yeah.
I don't know if that's a trend or if you guys have any insight into what we do during that off week.
I think that was all talent related. I mean, I think a lot of the stuff you can just throw out the window because the talent on this defense is so lacking that all these trends late in the year, this in the year, Belichick does this. As you said, Fred, he doesn't have 11 starters to roll out there. That's a problem.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, with the Pittsburgh game, they were just outplayed. Pittsburgh executed beautifully.
Spread them and shred them.
Yep, they really did. Whether or not they were holding on defense, I don't know. But they play really well on defense, too. They just mauled our guys. And, you know, Brady really didn't have many options. They just, you know, it was just – and I don't care what the score ended up. I know I've heard a lot of Patriots fans say, oh, you know, it was just – you know, they still had a chance to win at the end. You just didn't have that feeling. You know,
and they didn't have a chance to win at the end.
They really
either.
Didn't. It would have been a miracle.
I mean, I understand they had an onside kick and all that stuff, but they never had the ball down a score, so they didn't have a chance to win the game at the end.
Yeah, they just couldn't move the ball. It was just they were just outplayed that game, and hopefully, you know, you got it taken care of in the regular season. If you meet them in the postseason, it'll be a different story, and I do think it could be.
Dan, while we have you on the line, I have some breaking news off the Twitter feed.
What do you got, Andy?
Relating the two teams and their quarterbacks, Ben Roethlisberger, no limp at all walking through the locker room, looks 100% fine for the Steelers, according to a report out of Pittsburgh.
Would you play him?
And Tom Brady not on the practice field for the open practice here in New England, according to the rap sheet.
Not overly surprised about the latter.
I was listening to you guys either yesterday, maybe it was earlier today. Something's up with Brady's left shoulder.
Yes, left arm/shoulder. You know, very gingerly moving it. Post game, I believe he went and had X-rays. Something to keep an eye on. Left shoulder, though, I want to continue to emphasize left shoulder, non-throwing shoulder.
Yeah, he sprained it somehow.
Karen Garigian in the Boston Herald
just throws out a sprain.
Yeah,
Karen Garigian in the Boston Herald alluded to that a little bit earlier in the week. I think on Monday she said that he. You know, appears to be suffering from a left arm or shoulder injury, and a lot of people have been talking about it since. Now I would guess that talk is going to increase that he wasn't on the practice field today. Yeah. Well, I wouldn't be stunned if he didn't play.
I wouldn't be stunned either.
Would not be stunned if he didn't play, because he is dealing with something.
Nothing to do with resting people.
All right.
As Bill said, we'll prepare for this one the way we prepared for the last 15.
Did we just lose Dan? Dan?
Yeah.
Well, an airplane was flying directly over him.
Thanks
apparently.
For the call, Dan. All
would
right.
you play Roethlisberger if you were Tomlin?
I would not.
I would not either.
Let's take a break. We got a lot more emails and another half hour to go, and we'll be right back.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
What do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature, right? Yeah,
no.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
That
is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go, Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit card.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open!
Whoops.
Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
I love,
love,
love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
You ask.
How come the only time you give out the phone number is the time when people can't call?
And we listened.
They can't call. That line's busy.
Why do you have to tell everybody there's only one line?
The phone line has been upgraded to four lines. Call us at 508-298-0398.
All right, back here in PFW in progress. Let's see. Chad says he's angry at Andy. Seems like everybody is today. Andy, you're a media product, says Chad. You self-proclaim yourself the wisest man on earth.
When?
Every time on All Access, you sit in your leather chair and you sway your hands from left and right. Can I actually convince you that the NFL today is run by the marketers? Can I convince you that football comes down to two fundamentals? Football equals quarterback, and protect your quarterback. You know what's funny? Because the Panthers aren't ranked as high as the Patriots. Is their defense better? No. Tackling is now banned on defense. So why run the ball? Pass it, especially going against the Patriots. And the reality is we were able to draft Seymour because in 2000 we sucked so bad. Why did we suck? Because we had no O-line and Bledsoe was awful. And in 2005 versus the Broncos, Brady gave them that game because of the five turnovers as well. And don't tell me the Patriots were good in 2000 because of the defense. All right, it makes a damn talented quarterback to go that far. Andy said, the Jets' defense is a million times better than ours. Sinuo Papupu is a million times better than Wilfork. Fart Scott is a million times better than Mayo. Well, how come the Jets are struggling this year then? Because the quarterback stinks. Tackling is banned. You can't tackle. You can't contain the receiver. You can't do anything. You can't compare 2000 with 2011. And I'm sorry, but Gerard Mayo is way more talented than Bruschi if you compare these two according to their first four seasons. Fred, give Andy Fart's job to Scott Zolak.
Wow.
Who is he arguing?
I don't know, but it was good. He, a lot of passion.
Yeah. I think he's having an argument with another show.
Yeah, I really don't know what he's talking about.
Yeah,
because I mean, we're the first that always says the Patriots win because they have Brady and the other team doesn't. We know the value of having the best quarterback.
That was that's good stuff.
For whatever show it was intended for, and whoever he was arguing with, it was good.
Gene in Daytona says Fred is right about polite. He's here for the 1 yard run. Tom on QB sneaks is crazy, and Bill knows it. Sorry to say, but the only way to stop Tom from doing the QB sneaks is to give him someone he has confidence in.
Well, I just don't understand why you have no confidence in your goal line running game, because the last 3 years that's been the only thing that he's been able to do.
For some reason, they're not doing it.
22 touchdowns over the last 2 years for
Benny. I know, but all of a sudden they stopped doing it.
That's why I think he's hurt.
But my point being,
Benny,
he could be. And
three carries.
That could be.
And
maybe a guy like Woodhead or Ridley needs that fullback in order to do
it. I'm not giving it to those guys on the goal line.
I just don't understand the polite part of it. I understand your larger point. I don't understand why it couldn't be Ryan Wendell anymore.
Well, polite was
until
very
now.
Effective.
Until now.
Somebody looked up his percentages of goal line, and he's one of the most effective goal line blockers in the league last year.
Maybe
blocker or runner?
Maybe it's because they're all so banged up on the O-line, and they don't want to
risk
it.
Yes, that's why now. Yes. But why the last two games did they decide to run quarterback sneaks?
Well, they've been banged up on the O-line. It's not just this game, you know.
Really?
Lights had that foot for a while, right?
No. This is the first snap he's missed all year.
I know, but he was in the walking boot and, you know.
Light did hurt his foot earlier this year.
Yeah.
But he
at
didn't
the very
miss,
end of a game.
But he didn't miss any time.
And you guys think that Mankins, even though he hasn't been on the report, might have something going on?
Time out. I said that they were using offensive linemen as fullbacks. Now they can't, so I understand why they would bring in somebody else. Now,
okay.
They could have used Ryan Wendell two games ago in Denver. Even though Matt Light and Logan Mankins may not have been 100%, they were on the field.
Yeah,
doesn't prevent you from using a backup lineman as a fullback. Well, and by the way, extremely effective in those roles, because Benny, as Andy pointed out many times, has been as good as anyone on the goal line over the last 3 years.
I guess then for no reason they brought in a fullback then.
No.
I hate when
they've lost the offensive lineman now.
Sarcastic.
I guess they just don't know what they're doing then.
Eric.
Now they don't have those options because they have to play the offensive line.
And do you think that's why they were running Brady into the line?
I don't know why they were running Brady into the line. You seem to think it has all to do with that they don't have any confidence in the guy who was evidently doing it. That was the only thing he was providing. Yeah. Was goal line runs
for a while, but he hasn't been doing it recently
at Denver.
But no one knows why.
I know, but so we have to figure it out. And I think getting polite might be a clue to that answer.
To me, getting polite is a result of the offensive line getting injured, and they need Ryan Wendell or Dan Conley, whoever they've been using as fullback, needs to play offensive line now.
Okay, Eric
Donald Thomas.
But he didn't. That's the other issue.
Donald Thomas is lined up as a fullback this season, too. They can't
do
that anymore.
But that's two roles that they chose not to use Wendell in this week.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
Eric.
Fred.
Back from practice.
Yes.
Looking cold.
Boy, it's cold out there.
Really?
It was actually a lot warmer this morning when we
got here. Yeah, because when I got here, it was 11:30.
It was balmy.
Like 45 degrees.
Yeah. Oh, no. Temperatures dipped.
It's
the wind
dropping.
Has picked up. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dropping.
Yes, it is.
It's mild.
Tom Brady not at practice.
Yes, I know.
Nor Mankins, as we've been talking about, and Vollmer, again, broken record there. But something tells me the report's going to come out, and it's going to say Brady, not injury related.
Wait, are you telling me that Spikes and Branch, I mean
Spikes and Chung are both there?
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Yeah.
I give up. I just give up.
It's pretty much the general consensus.
Yeah.
You know?
When have you ever seen a guy miss more?
Well, let me ask you, was it pads or walkthrough?
Shells.
Just shells today?
Shells, yeah.
Well, okay. Are they allowed any more pads, or they've used up that quota?
No, they can. Yeah. They had three more they could have used.
Okay. Well, we'll see. I mean,
we'll see.
I asked somebody yesterday, should I give up hope for Brandon Spikes for the season? And somebody said, "Oh, you should never give up hope." That's the answer I got back. So
wasn't that me on the TV show?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't.
I wouldn't count on Spikes. If he shows up and he makes a play, great.
No, but both of those can be true. I don't want to get yelled at by Fred, but you cannot count on him, but still hope he comes back.
Sure.
Sure.
Yeah, but I wouldn't
agree.
I wouldn't be banking on it every week with bated breath.
You plan for the worst and hope for the best.
Exactly.
Right?
I mean, they've gotten this far without him. So if he shows up, great. If he doesn't, they've made it this far without him.
So the question is, will he be there tomorrow? Because they tend to come for one and then they miss one.
Yeah, he missed Friday, actually.
Right.
Yeah. Or Thursday, whatever it was.
Yeah.
He missed the last two last week, didn't
he? Yes. He was there for Wednesday, and then that was it.
Yeah. He missed.
And it was basically a walkthrough on the first practice.
Yeah.
Whatever the first.
That's why
Tuesday.
I asked, how were they dressed today? Yeah. So, anything else, Eric?
Black jerseys?
Black jerseys were awarded. Four people got them. Nick McDonald, Ryan Wendell, Ron Brace. Five. Sterling Moore and Tyquan Underwood.
There's your Ron Brace contributing in other ways.
That's right.
Is that what that was about? That
probably. You said that there was a headline about that, right?
There was a Mike Reese tweet, and I didn't really click on the story to see what it was, but I was
questioning.
It said Ron Brace contributing in other ways, and Paul thought maybe it meant charitable work in
Springfield.
But I hope it's that, because if it's as a I don't usually like my second round picks to be practice squad dummies.
Yeah. Well. Hey, they were saying that about Ocho all year. He's a great player in practice.
Right.
Well, you're not
useless.
Paying him $5 million to be a great player in practice.
Six. Get it right. It's an extra million.
That's why they hate him.
Oh, he's been.
That's among the reasons.
Yeah, among many. Yeah.
Why? Because I like factually accurate statements?
You have to say it with that tone?
Yes. It's not a fact issue. It's a tonality issue.
Right.
Freddie, your boy's here today.
You guys are here.
Oh, I heard. Just, yeah.
Maybe Brady just was running long on his chat with Chris Berman.
It could have been.
Maybe they're drawing up plays, new plays for the offense. You know, we had the squib kick or whatever the hell you call it, the dumb thing.
Whoop!
Maybe he's got all these new plays he wants Brady to run, and Bill was like, sure, go ahead.
Yeah. I still contend you're going to see the injury report at 4. It's going to say Brady, not injury related.
Left shoulder, Brady. That's what I'm going with.
Yeah, I think so, too. Yeah.
That'd be my guess.
He's hurt.
He might be. That doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be on the
injury
report.
And if you look at the video.
Doesn't mean he's injured.
Right.
Right. That's, you know.
I stunned Fred with that one.
No, it's true. There's a difference.
Yeah.
What about your experience in the locker room today, Eric? How did you do?
He's on edge because he thinks he's being set up for something.
No, I
right
heard
now.
It was a lively locker room today.
Fairly lively, yeah. Luckily, I'm doing a Pro Bowl story, and most of the guys
Waters
who made it.
Bitch slapping him.
He wasn't.
What?
He was not.
What happened?
No, he was not.
I heard it, and I agree with that.
Wait, what happened?
He was not.
I think he surprisingly handled it. I think I would have bitch slapped him, but he surprisingly
hit this.
Brian Waters.
Brian Waters bitch slapped him?
No, he didn't.
Oh. He yelled at you.
No, he didn't.
He raised his voice.
I don't think he did.
He may have raised his voice, but it wasn't at me.
He was looking right at you.
But it wasn't at me.
Did you ask the question?
If you shut up, I'll explain.
I heard your question,
Christ's
and
sake.
I didn't think he raised his voice
Thank
to you,
you
at
Paul.
All.
I heard his answer, despite the fact I couldn't hear any of the other answers because they were more quiet than when he
Let me answer Fred's question.
Well, let's get Eric's version.
It's not a version. This is what happened.
Okay.
Eric's a virgin? What?
Yes.
What?
No.
Born again version.
No.
It's been so long.
It's been
you're
so
now
long.
Relabeled a virgin.
Yeah.
There's a statute of limitations.
Yes.
Right. So he starts off, they ask him, you know, so you made the Pro Bowl, how's it feel, yada, yada, goes on. And then he brought up the fact that it's kind of hard at our position to judge, you know, who gets in all the time because linemen aren't the most glamorous position. So a couple of questions later, I follow that up with, well, so do you think then, given your position, that a lot of the voting is based on reputation. And he smiled and kind of was said, no, I think the people who vote know enough about it. But then he started getting into how he doesn't really care for the voting system.
Right.
And he's like, I got a little thing about the Pro Bowl, but he's like, I won't go into that now. So then later on, I followed up with another question about not being able to, you know, hoping that you don't end up actually playing in the game because
right,
obviously you'll be in the Super Bowl. And then he starts in with the, again, he's like, I got this thing about the Pro Bowl and when it is, and I got all these problems
we're
about
have
it.
To revisit
I got some
that.
Really strong feelings about it. That's where Andy says he raised his voice and was yelling at
okay,
me.
Okay.
Well, so he definitely raised his voice
because I couldn't hear it.
It was about the Pro Bowl.
It wasn't
right.
about anything I
right.
asked.
It wasn't
him.
The
well,
subject
you asked
matter.
Him if he skated into the Pro Bowl on his name alone.
I didn't say that.
It was a very Andy like
it was a very
yeah, but,
Andy like question.
But if you can elicit that type of emotion from a guy, isn't that doing a good job as an interviewer?
Well, you could go in there and say, you know, like, you know, Happy Gilmore, you know, you suck, yeah. jackass.
They're going to get mad. There's going to be emotion. That's not good.
No, but
no,
it's
not the kind of emotion you're
things.
Looking for.
You right. get him to say things.
But as Paul notes, we should try to, at some other time,
yes.
get more out of him of yeah. what he thinks about the whole
Super Bowl.
Assuming
he doesn't brought retire. That up. That's definitely something we should
as
revisit.
As long as he doesn't retire, you know, right after the Super Bowl.
Well, that's
well maybe we'll get his digits. See if we could talk to him in the offseason about
very
it.
Very nice man.
He is a
he
very
is.
Nice
I
man.
Think he would do. Does his voice bother you, Fred?
They have a very good locker room this year.
His voice bothers me.
Literally,
what kind of like
locker room
it
I got
gives
in there.
Me
good one.
It, he's got a scratchy
there's a frequency
garbled.
There. There's
it,
a frequency.
It makes
that
like
it
the hair yeah. or the something. It makes me it, feel weird.
Yeah.
Huh.
I get a weird feeling in my ears too.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
That's because he was yelling at you, so your ears
he
are
wasn't
ringing.
Yelling at me. I'm yelling at you now.
Yeah, but you're not big like him, so it's not imposing.
Oh, no, it's not. David writes in, really don't you guys think that Drew Brees would feel like an idiot for his televised acceptance speech if Brady gets the record? All we need is San Francisco to
funny.
Go up early on Carolina. Brees gets rested, and Brady could easily get 190 more yards than Brees. Brady could get more than Brees.
Yeah.
I don't care how Belichick acts to the media. You know he secretly wants Brady to get this.
Wait, I wouldn't feel bad if I'm Drew Brees and I don't play and you pass me. I passed him a week ago.
Plus, he
get over it.
He broke that record.
Right.
If Brady ends up breaking Brees' record,
yeah.
But even that, then he'll have a
in my mind there'll be an asterisk next to it because if Brees doesn't play and you pass him because he's just not trying.
Plus, I don't think there's any
chance. But technically, the record isn't broken until the season's over because Brees could have
negative yardage.
Brees could have negative yardage. You know. Theoretically, to the point where his season total goes back behind
Marino.
He
makes a
again.
Point. He makes a point.
A stupid one.
The season's not in the books yet.
That's true.
It's not in the books
yet. He broke the record.
It's a season record, though.
Yes.
Broke the record.
Season's
as well
not over.
As
and he already surpassed it, so it's
I know, but,
in a season.
But technically, he could have negative yardage to put him behind.
He's playing as well as anybody
ever had negative yardage passing.
I'm just saying, theoretically.
So he broke the record.
It could happen.
But it could also be that Brees throws for, you know, only 200 yards this week and Brady throws for, you know,
398.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes,
zero.
It's just
I think there's no chance that Brady beats him by more than 190 yards. No, 0%.
I don't think so.
0%.
I don't even think Brady should play.
If they both play, if they both played four quarters, what's the fewest amount of yards that Brees throws for? 250?
250, yeah.
And you think he's going to beat him by 200? He's going to have to throw for 450? There's no way.
No. You never know.
Not with this offense. I know they don't care about individual accomplishments.
Plus, it might rain on
Sunday, there's very little chance that he only throws for 250. It's probably more like 350.
Right.
Right.
You know? And then Brady's got to do what he did against Miami to even have a sniff. But I don't think either one of them are going to play a full game, if at all.
Regarding McCourty, says David, this guy gets destroyed when he's going against taller receivers. Marshall didn't even need to try against him last week. He just put his hands up, let the ball come to him. Maybe Devin was good last year because Darius Butler was around and every team decided to pick on him instead. Last, I know everyone is nervous about our secondary, but I think our number one issue is pass protection. With our offensive line banged up, we are clearly susceptible to Brady getting pressured, and we all know how he plays when he's pressured. Just look at the first half versus Miami. We've been able to win despite our awful secondary, but without protection, we're toast. And thanks to everyone for coming to the Denver Pikes Peak Pats party. It was great meeting you guys.
You too.
You weren't there.
I know.
So, that's Dave.
What, is he talking about the protection short term right now or like a draft look at the protection?
Hmm.
because I agree with him, the protection now is a concern. Yeah. If Light and Mankins are out and you're going out there every week and it looks like
Miami. Well, if you're not going to re-sign Waters, well, I guess Cannon will eventually be the guy there.
A two-year deal.
He did sign a two-year deal.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Okay, so then you got
and you
Cannon,
have Cannon,
right.
Who was theoretically a first-round value in the fifth round. You drafted a first-round tackle. You have an all-pro tackle in Vollmer. And you have Mankins, who's the highest-paid interior lineman in the history of the game.
Is Light back another year?
Well, he's under contract.
Right.
But I almost think that's irrelevant. You have Solder and Vollmer.
What about Vollmer? I mean, do you trust his health?
Yeah. And you have Cannon.
Well, you're throwing a lot of questions at
me. Well, yeah, I mean, that's...
But I think there's a lot of answers. If you ask me all these questions about secondary and pass rush, I don't have answers.
I think Light comes back. He is, like Andy said, under contract. And I think given the uncertainty with both Vollmer and, you know, the youth and inexperience with the two guys we mentioned,
what about the center position?
That's a question. He's a free agent.
Yeah.
Unless you say Connolly is a center.
Yeah.
Now, I would guess that they would try to get a real center or re-sign Copen.
Which is more valuable? Keeping a guy like Copen, who's a veteran, Brady's used to him, all that, or bringing in a guy like Saturday, who is also a veteran but has not nearly the comfort level that Copen does?
Copen.
I think you keep Copen.
I think Saturday's at the end of the road. He's what? What is he, Fred?
He's so old, he's on to Sunday.
It's true. I mean, if you're going the veteran route, I would just, you're comfortable with Copen. You seem to be relatively happy over the years. You put him between two Pro Bowl guards. That's even better than what he's been next to at times with Neil being hurt so often. If you're just going to go that route, I'm just saying if they decided to go in the second round and get, you know, a Nick Mangold, this is our young center of the future or whatever.
Well, if the guy's there, why not?
Sure. Because you can often get the best center available in the second round. I mean, recently the Pouncey et al. Have screwed that up a little. But oftentimes, you know, you're picking in the 30s, you could get the best center in the draft.
Omar in Atlanta says about Brady in practice. We're talking about practice, not a game, practice. To me, Brady missing practice is a non-issue. Precedent, folks. He'll be ready to play on Sunday and likely take over second place for most passing yards in a season.
Yeah, nobody said he wasn't playing.
Yeah, but we're talking about
I think there's a very good chance that he doesn't.
We're talking about the second most valuable shoulder on this team being injured.
Right. I don't want him to play.
Yeah. I don't want him to play at less than 100%. So
you don't want him to play because the line is hurt, right? Isn't that your argument?
Yeah, that's part of it.
Put his life in danger.
I'm with Fred. I think Fred's right.
That's part of
it. Fred's always right.
So do you... Well, do you then just
want Hoyer to play, Paul, so he can stink, and then you can tell all these people that think he's going to be a two first round pick trade starter that see he stinks.
But if that were actually my goal, this wouldn't be the week for me to have that, because I actually think that Brian Hoyer can go out there against this team and look very good. I think this is a terrible, terrible team as it is currently constituted. I think that Buffalo is getting better.
Oh, that's right, all the injuries.
I think Buffalo's getting better. They're not better right now. And I think they're going to win the game regardless of who plays quarterback.
Oh, okay, that's what I was going to ask you. If you thought they would...
Mallett could beat him?
No.
I don't know what regardless of who plays quarterback. I just don't know the English language anymore.
I think Hoyer... Well, you asked me to clarify, and I'm giving you an answer.
I wish I could ask Trent Dilfer to clarify.
Christian sends us
an article. I don't think he needed to clarify
from,
his answer. He told you what he thought.
Yeah, nothing. Absolutely nothing.
He thinks he's playing better than anyone, as well as anybody ever has.
But doesn't tell me the comparables.
Christian sends us an article from dolphinshout.com. Dolphinshout.com.
I thought it was Bill Shout.
There was a Bill Shout. Anyway, he says about Polite. In 2009, he was given the ball 16 times in third or fourth down and one and converted all of them 100%. In the same situation in 2010, he was given the ball 15 times and converted 14 of them. He leads the NFL in short yardage first down conversions and needs to be recognized and feared for it.
Recognized.
DolphinsShout.com.
Yeah, but what are Brady's numbers in those situations? He's probably equally as good.
But wouldn't you rather have this guy doing it than Brady?
Sure. If he's hurt.
To keep him from being hurt, too.
But he's done it for years and he's never gotten hurt doing it.
Eventually it catches up with you, and it did.
Did he get hurt on the goal line?
I don't know, but you know he got hurt running the ball, doing something.
He got hurt doing something. You are correct.
Lyndon says, lots of websites are listing Aaron Hernandez as one of the top players that didn't make the Pro Bowl this year. One of the sites went as far as saying that if Hernandez had played for another team and had the same stats, he would have made it over Gates. After reading this, I really started to wonder if Hernandez will want to renew with the Pats when the time comes. While money in the Pats trying to resign Gronk will obviously be factors in what happens, do you think Hernandez will want to go to a place where he's the guy?
Yes.
You do?
Doesn't everybody?
What if?
I think it depends.
Trouble is, he could be the guy here instead of Welker. If the offense just changes and it's Gronk and Hernandez and, you know, a couple other receivers in a different, I think he could be Welker. I think he could be the short receiver, the slot guy.
There's definitely room for two very good tight ends in this town.
Yeah.
And on this team.
But even more so, I think if you just say, you know, we watch him in training camp.
Right.
It goes Wes Welker, Julian Edelman, and Aaron Hernandez in a line together. Mm-hmm. And a different line than Gronk, and a different line than Branch and Ocho. They are a position that's very similar. So what if they franchise Welker for next year, and then Welker's done here for whatever reason?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Hernandez just slides right into the Welker role and says, I can catch 90 balls in that role or whatever it is and have plenty of fun, and I'm with Tom Brady and blah, blah, blah.
We've said it since the combine. They're two very different players, even though technically they're both tight ends.
Right.
So there's I don't see why he would leave.
Plus, it'll come down to the money anyway.
It'll come down to money, but it'll also come down to where he's going. You know, who's throwing him the ball.
Come down to money. I mean, the man's touchdown dance is ripping his shirt open, pulling out his money, and making it rain, baby. Yeah. It's going to come down to the money. The Benjamin, so to speak.
The Statmobile in Cambridge, formerly Brian from Brighton, writes, I don't appreciate the shot that Andy handed out yesterday that I was a loser for listening live. I just started a new job, so I'm forced to work in the office
this week.
I'm just happy to have a job, and I wanted to let you all know that instead of wasting my money on buying lunch for you all like I did last time I got a new job, I was pissed to have to pay for no socks lunch. You shouldn't have to do that.
That's socks got in on lunch?
That's wrong when people piggyback.
This time I'm taking that money and finally buying my subscription to the paper. I've been a douche for not having one all along, but now there's no excuse. My apologies for freeloading, and I promise to never let the subscription expire.
Wait a minute. But do you have an app? I mean, do you have an iPad? Because consider getting the app instead of the straight subscription.
Well, if you get the subscription, you get both.
Right. If you get the app, you technically get both. You don't get the...
You don't get
print
the paper,
copy.
So you don't get
But he has a job, so he can go to work and print it at work.
Keep on making me laugh and looking like a fool in my cubicle.
And I wasn't taking a shot at him. I was taking a shot at people that were home from work this week and listening live. Those are the people I said are ridiculous.
No one's ridiculous for listening to the show, Andy.
Yeah. You can listen to it as a podcast. Nothing will change between if you listen to it at noon or if you listen
to it
at night.
Yeah, but we rely on our live interactions with our listeners.
For what?
For emails and phone calls. Speaking of phone calls, we got Larry in Miami. Hey, Larry.
Hello, Larry.
Hey, what's up, guys? What's going on?
Nothing much. We're just hanging out here on a Wednesday.
I'm learning the English language. How about you?
You are? Nothing. About to go to a doctor's appointment with my wife.
Oh, I hope nothing's serious.
Everything okay? Whoa. We're family here.
No. Check on the baby.
Oh, okay.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah. Happy holidays, first of all, to you guys.
You too.
Same to you.
The quick thing I wanted to say before you go, I think Brady should play. I understand the offensive line is a makeshift offensive line right now, but they don't earn. To me, they have to earn it because for the past three seasons, they haven't been doing nothing in the playoffs, and I don't want them to be sitting in the rust on top of what we already are having problems with. Be on top of that, they show up in the playoffs again. So I believe they should play, and everybody should be full throttle. So in the playoffs, you know, we already got a bye, so. I believe they should play. All of them should play. They ain't earned it yet.
I heard that in order not to get rusty during the bye, they're going to scrimmage Everett a couple times.
Well, scrimmage and...
Larry, what if Brady were hurt? Would that change your mind? Would that change your opinion?
It's going to be the same offensive line he's going to be playing with.
No. What if he's hurt right now?
If he's hurt?
Yeah.
Hand the ball over. I'll let him lose the game with Ben Jarvis. Ben Jarvis then having Brady to sit there. I want him to play.
You want him to play even if he's hurt?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Sorry, yeah.
I don't think you get anything out of that.
I don't think that helps Tom. I don't worry. Yeah.
I think it can't hurt to get Hoyer some snaps either, because what if Brady has to miss a series?
What if he is hurt, and then what if he takes a big shot
right.
and has to come out of the game, and now you got to go? I mean,
you lose.
Yeah, I know
well,
you're in
true,
trouble,
but, yeah.
but I don't think that coaches think of it in terms of, oh, we lose now.
Right.
You know, unless you're Jim Caldwell.
Some safe passes, you know, quick passes, or, you know, run the ball. We have to work on the running game anyway.
Why do you need Brady to work on the running game?
Well, I just need Brady to be on there because every time in the playoffs, the Superman in the during the season and playoffs, he gets flustered. And
but this isn't the playoffs.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I don't think that's going to make a difference.
Times have changed.
Yeah.
Brady's the reason why we can't win in the playoffs now, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, if you're the reason you won 14 games to get to the playoffs and you don't live up to it, you're part of the reason you didn't keep winning.
I didn't say he wasn't part of it.
Okay.
This was the reason. He gets flustered. You think he gets flustered?
Yes, I do, actually. I think he was very much flustered against
Baltimore
Ravens. I think he's throwing ball blindly across the middle of the field is flustered Tom Brady.
By the fact that he was getting killed?
Yeah, and he got flustered.
Yeah, I agree with that. He got killed.
Well, I hear that a lot. Well, the way to get to Brady is, you know, put a lot of pressure on him. Isn't that the way to get
yes.
to all quarterbacks?
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So
you get hit a few times and tell me if you're thinking as well
right.
as you were a few
I mean,
minutes
Roethlisberger,
earlier.
He's unique because you can do that, and he actually gets better as he moves around, and he's so big, he's so hard to bring down. But
you got
to
get pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah, all of them. You know?
Yep.
All right. Well, that's going to be it for this
that's
edition
it?
Of PFW in Progress. We'll be back tomorrow.
Another hour.
I promise. Right,
Rook.
Is John Rook coming in today?
He is coming in. He's on his way.
See, look at his wounds from that beatdown that they took last night.
Should we cover for him for a couple minutes?
No. Kevin,
we're
going to
have an end and then a break, and he'll be fine. He'll
an
be
end and then a beginning. For every end, there is a beginning.
Sure, Andy.
All right. Well,
now by end, do you mean you know?
Oh boy.
Thanks for joining us.
I want to end your life like you want to end that Packers
we'll
fan's life.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.